Become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Got the wrong guy.
Do you know how many times I hear that?
Yeah, but I'm telling the truth.
The weapon was in your hand when I arrested you.
It wasn't mine.
It was in your hand.
Well, I don't know how it got there.
Oh, it just magically appeared.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do I look stupid to you?
Is that a trick question?
Stay out of it, Mom.
What kind of cop uses a cab anyway? Is she even a real cop?
Well, she almost wasn't one.
Mom.
Her father had to pull quite a few strings.
Mother.
What? It's the truth. I mean, you failed your driver's test 3 times.
Mother.
3 times? Yeah, she destroyed 2 cars.
Shut up, douchebag. Sir? Just sit there and use your right to remain silent.
Hi. How are you? I'm very happy to be here. First, I would like to just get to know you. Ha, 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 ha. Quiet.
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Buddy, I brought the fellas over to cheer you up.
Go away.
Hey. Shut up now.
Behold, the Ziggy Pig, the single greatest ice cream spectacle known to man.
Eat the pig, eat the pig. Ziggy, 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 Zig.
Un baton.
It's ice cream.
You eat it.
It's good. Le glace.
Whatever. Just eat it.
You tell me, who is your daddy and what does he do? Get it? Okay, we start right here. You.
My dad repairs wrecked cars driven by women who are pinheads. My dad doesn't do anything since the crash. My dad gives money to people that doesn't have money. And then people use that money. And then they give other money back and they give the same amount of money back to my dad.
My dad doesn't live with us anymore. He lives in New York and drives a taxi. My mom hopes he's gonna die real soon.
My dad watches TV all day long.
My dad works on computers, and he's the boss of his company. And he has a mustache and a beard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't have that much hair, and his head is so big that he can't wear any hats.
My dad is a gynecologist. And he looks at vaginas all day long.
Behold, behold! He ate the pig, thus proving that he's a
Ziggy Piggy, Ziggy Piggy, Ziggy Piggy.
Headache.
It might be a tumor.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor at all.
Yeah! Woohoo! It's not a tumor!
Tumor man?
Hello, everyone. I am Zed Daystrom. It is time for Entertainment Landfill, a Saturday edition of Entertainment Landfill. In fact, Stephen was reminding me that actually when we first started the show,
yep,
it was a Saturday show.
Back to the roots.
And probably when we moved it to Friday, that's why Vanessa quit the show, maybe.
Why? Does she have Fridays busy?
I don't know. But I am the Jaystrom, and to my left is Stephen the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey,
hello, Stephen.
Hello.
We also have here...
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Bill.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Hello, hey, Jason. Hello again, Stephen.
Bill, sometimes you're really good about not saying anything until I introduce you, and sometimes you're really bad.
That's today, because I'm ornery.
Today you're bad.
I'm going to piss you off.
Why?
I'm just joking. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No, you didn't piss me off. I was just making an astute observation.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm feeling cross-talky today.
We don't have any rules in podcasting. Come on.
Yes, we do.
Except
yes, we have unspoken rules.
We edit out the ums and ahs. That's it. No, I'm kidding.
When was the last time we did that? Long time ago.
You know, I can't listen to a lot of our really old shows because they're edited, and I can tell they are, and it gets on my nerves. There's rarely any edits on the show anymore. If anything, it's when maybe baby barks or something, and I catch it. You know, but it's really just rolling, hitting record and doing the show. And I don't know, way back. You know what's really funny? As I was just thinking about this, Bill, there's an early show. Remember, way back when, I didn't know how to edit anything. And I said, Bill, do you know how to edit audio? Because I don't. And you were like, I could try to. So, like, episode 3, you edit it.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember this, but there's one part. I mean, we didn't know at what extent to edit or anything like that. So, Bill, you were like, there's one part where it doesn't make any sense where I feel like I need to elaborate more. So you recorded a separate piece of information and then inserted it in the show.
Oh, boy.
And so there's this part we're talking about something, and it cuts to you, and you're like, well, you know what? I was reading this, and you talk about the information, and then it goes back to regular audio. And it was funny.
That's so strange.
Yeah, but... You know, we didn't know what
we
were doing back then.
Yeah.
But it's just funny how, like, if I go back and listen to that, I can tell right when you, like, edited something in right there.
Such a weirdo.
No, but it was funny. You know, we had a learning curve. And I think if people want to go back and listen, start at, like, episode 100 or something like that. Maybe episode 90. I'll be good about that.
Yeah, I think that's when we got the swing of things.
Yeah, when we started live, really, I think it added a lot to the show. Yeah. I think it pepped us up and gave us some energy because episode 90 was our first live show on Talk Radio X.
Wow.
Good stuff. Except, you know, the one bad thing about that, though, is that we had exactly 2 hours and we had to get the show.
And determined breaks.
And the break that would cut us off no matter.
Yeah, so in all honesty... I never understood that. I would have thought, like, hey, we have somebody who was willing to do a live show. Let's let them do whatever they want. That's what I thought. It's not like it's real. So that's what drove us nuts, basically.
Hey, Talk Radio X is real radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Ziggy Piggy, Ziggy Piggy, Ziggy Piggy.
You know what, Spills? You mentioned that last week, and I go, that's going in an intro.
I love that movie.
Eat the Big Ziggy, 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 Zig.
The guy who played Napoleon was just perfect.
Yeah, and also, you know, I had to add in some Kindergarten Cop in there, too.
It's not a tumor. Not.
It's not a tumor. Did you know that, Stephen?
It is.
Oh, it is a tumor?
It's not a tumor.
Oh, no, never mind. No. Now, hey, I want to announce we have 2 new patrons, guys.
Holy moly.
And the first one is Brian R. which is awesome. And also Adam from the Bay Area. Woo-hoo. Yeah. How awesome is it to have Adam from the Bay Area?
Love it.
And, I wanted to plug something for him. It's really cool. He's, doing a kind of video. He's doing videos with his son of Lego reviews on YouTube. If you just search for Lawrence's Lego reviews, you'll see they've done like three videos, and it's them like, it's really funny because Adam was telling me he's trying to learn how to video edit and stuff. Right. And you can tell he's having fun with it. And they're
Lawrence
just
of Bay Area.
Uh huh. And so they're like doing different kind of, Lego stuff. So check that out. It's pretty cool. And it made me think, God, I should do something like this with Emma.
Yeah, they are really fun videos. I was watching them the other night.
My favorite thing is when Adam cracks a joke and he looks at Lawrence and Lawrence isn't even paying attention to him.
He's so involved in his Legos.
Yeah, he's just like,
No, we're going to do it our way. Excuse me.
Oh, Adam, clear your throat there. He needs a glass of water or something.
A little lozenge.
So that's pretty cool. So thanks, guys, Brian and Adam. We love having you. And if anybody else wants to become a patron, patreon.com/landfill.
You are open and welcome.
Yes, it'll be awesome. Support the show, and we're cranking out material. Bill, the Star Wars show is done.
Excellent.
And it will be released very soon after you hear this episode. People who are people who are patrons, Bill, mm-hmm. they've already heard it.
Yep.
Yep.
Because they're awesome.
If you're a patron, you get to do it our way, and let's do it early.
No, we're going to do it our way. Excuse me.
Sorry. I forgot the reaction you get from listening to that is that you have to clear your throat.
Yeah. It's contagious.
Excuse me.
Oh, you're excused, Adam.
He really does. He's very productive on that, though. It gets out.
Light it and try to smoke it.
No, Adam.
Ooh, wouldn't you have to dry it first?
So Lawrence's That's Lego so reviews. Gross. You guys should check that out. It's pretty cool. I have some bad news, and it really did upset me, Bill, because we already knew that Panasonic stopped making plasmas.
Yeah.
And those were the best on the market, according to most people.
Yeah, well, they had their time in the sun, honestly. I wasn't really that upset by it.
Well, now I'm upset because Samsung said this is their last year they're making plasmas.
Now, this pissed me off.
Mm-hmm. Because
I thought Samsung would be the holdout that, like, does the kind of Kuro displays with the, like, inky blacks.
Plasma rocks it over LCD, yo.
Yeah, I would think that they would be like, okay, Panasonic's not doing anymore. We're going to start kicking ass, and they're going to, and they did release a pretty kick-ass one this year, didn't they?
They did.
And, that's going to be gone in a heartbeat now, isn't it? Now that
I think, people that are like, video files are going to snatch them up. And I was so pissed at myself that I didn't get the last Panasonic plasma, the ZT, the 65 ZT 50.
I know a genuine Panasonic when I see it.
So is that gone forever now?
Yeah, and you know, for a long time they were really discounted. They were they were just trying to get them gone, and then as they started to disappear, then they're up from like 3,000 to 4, 5, 6, 7 because I don't know what I was waiting for. At least I got one for my basement. I got a really nice Sammy plasma for my basement, so I'll be holding on to that for a while.
Well, yeah, it's like
TV respects me.
No, it's like once a TV you want becomes a collector's item, you're screwed because once they jack a price even higher for collectors to get, you're never going to get it.
Yeah, never. Yeah, I was screwed out of the ZT, and I don't even know. I have been looking at those OLED 4K sets, and they're stunning, but they're so expensive.
Yeah.
I hate those edge-lit LED LCDs because it doesn't matter where I sit, where I go in a Best Buy or a Magnolia, I can see the edge lighting.
Right.
I can see it. I don't care how well calibrated it is, I'm going to freaking see that shit, and I hate it.
That's what I love about plasmas. You can sit anywhere, you know? any angle, you can see the screen just fine. It doesn't darken like LCDs do, you know?
I don't think it's OLED, but that new curved Samsung that just came out, I saw that the other day at the Magnolia in Best Buy, and I was sitting everywhere, and it didn't change. It actually helped it.
So do you think you could do the curved?
I could. I really liked it. I was if it was bigger, I would like the 65-inch. It looks terrible hanging on the wall. You'll never be able to hang the curved.
Yeah.
It looks awful on a wall. You're going to have a nice TV stand, but it's stunning. Like, I mean, the 4K material is beautiful. Like, I was in there watching one of those like flyover type of things from the 4K box, and it looked three-dimensional. It was really nice.
Stunning.
Yeah, like they even show like for instance, my wife likes watching soccer on TV. It looks like shit, all compressed and stuff.
Oh yeah,
especially when they're running.
Yeah, when it's fast moving. That's why I hate DirecTV anymore, because they load so much garbage shit channels on there in like the 100s and below. All this freaking telemarketing infomercial horse shit that no one watches. It sucks up the bandwidth, and then anything that you actually want to watch looks like shit.
Right. Well, when I go into the store and they have 4K soccer, I'm like, that looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
Yeah, but how do you say we bought a 4K TV? How long before I can watch 4K hockey?
Oh, very long time, because in order for you to see 4K hockey, you would have to get it over the air. And is it capable of doing over the air?
I have no idea.
And then you'd have to have a 4K broadcaster, and most broadcasters
are. It's just
remember, like, aren't they still at 1080i and 720p, most digital broadcastings?
I assume so.
Yeah.
But remember when you first got an HDTV, there was no format on disc. You just had to get what you got over the air or what was on cable, like some cable box. I don't want to do that all over again. You know what I mean? With 4K.
Just hold out. It'll come.
Yeah. I don't want to
It's either going to be that or it's going to be online, and online it's going to be compressed to shit.
Well, let me ask you this. If I had a 4K TV, and I guarantee you it does some kind of, what do you call it? Up converting.
Uh-huh.
If it does look awesome up converted, I think I'll be like, okay, I don't mind so much.
It won't look awesome up converting. Every review I've read of the 4K up conversion, they say it looks like shit, stay at the native resolution.
Yeah, basically what happens when you up convert is it brings out flaws.
Yeah, it doubles lines that aren't there.
So there's no reason to even get a 4K TV right now.
Nope. Unless they give you those boxes. Like if you buy a Sony, which I was looking at, I'm really seriously looking at a 4K set for my living room. And they give you the boxes that have, you can buy 4K movies digitally. And they look okay, but it's all shit I would never watch. Like the Amazing Spider-Man, which I hated, the other guys and all this stuff. And it's the only box that I would seriously consider buying is the Red Player. You know, the camera company Red.
Right.
That they do the cinema camera. They have a Red box.
That's like $200 plasma screen TV you just killed!
But it's like, I think I would have to look it up, but it's ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, that's what I'm... Basically, what I would love to have, I don't need 4K. I want the same kind of plasma, but I want like an 80-inch plasma. Is that too much to ask for?
No, I would love it. Okay, it's the Red Ray Player, and it is $1,250.
Holy shiznit.
Yeah, it's wireless, it's HD, 4K. I mean, it's really cool. I mean, but that's one of those things that you, would never be able to afford.
Yeah.
But also, I just have to bring this up. Did you know that there's an actual service, a box, that you can have installed in your home theater, that if you have a compatible television or projector, you get first-run movies that's like this?
No.
Yeah, there's a service that you can pay, like, yearly, and you get, you know, the moment the movie is released, if they're participating with this, you get first-run films. And I heard it at the concert I was at in Pittsburgh, these rich people. that were behind me. And I looked it up. I was like, holy crap, I want that shit. And then I looked it up, and it's like $500,000.
That's chump change.
Holy shit, it costs $500,000 to have the service?
Basically, I mean, over the lifetime, I think it's called, is it Prima Cinema? Yeah, wow. I think that's it.
So it's the kind of thing rich people have in their home theaters, and they're like, Buffy, come over this weekend, I have something to show you.
it stores like 50 2D or 3D movies, and it's Universal Pictures, Focus Features, Magnolia, Cinedigm, like all these different people are offering it. And it's, I think the box itself is like $35,000.
I think I could wait.
Yeah. And then it's like $500 for each viewing of a film.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not gonna be picked up on a mass scale anytime soon.
Yeah, it's for people that have like $1 million home theaters.
Ziggy Piggy, Ziggy Piggy, Ziggy Piggy.
Okay.
But that's the sort of stuff that you and I would constantly read about in like home theater magazine.
Oh, I know, yeah. I remember reading about I think it was called the Kaleidoscope.
Mm.
It was something like these, George Lucas had one where it's just a media center that has every movie on it.
Yeah, they still make those.
And he can watch it anywhere in his house. I guess a lot of people can do their own versions of that cheaper now with like a little media internet server in their house.
Yeah, it's what do you call it? Network storage and NSF, is it? Or
yeah.
Network server.
I remember for a long time, like, they were, Kaleidoscope was being sued and stuff because they didn't think you should be able to copy their movies and put it on there. But
yeah, it's called the Cinema One, and you put the disc in, it rips it to the hard drive, and then you can access it anywhere.
Yeah, they didn't, remember everyone would get hung up on copying shit?
Yeah.
And it's just God, come on.
DRM, everybody loves that shit.
Everything the way it is now, I guarantee we could have had like 5 years earlier if everyone wasn't so caught up in, well, should you be allowed to have a video file of this movie and stuff like that? It's really annoying.
I own the disc? Yes.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I have a voicemail from Adam Sexton. What do you guys say we check it out?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton.
Hello, Adam.
I'm dropping off a voicemail saying hello, wishing you good luck on tonight's show, which I'm sure you'll have another good one. The announcement of the show kind of took me by surprise, seeing how I am away from my apartment this weekend, visiting my parents for the holiday weekend, and I neglected to bring along my laptop. So, unfortunately, that means I probably won't be able to make it for the chat room session for the live of recording. I've tried to access it on my phone, and I get the screen, but I don't hear anything. I don't know if I can work something out, I will do so. If not, I'm sure you all get along just fine without me. And that also means that I have a great podcast episode to listen to within the next week. Thank you, Jason, for reposting those movie minis for Jaws and Back to the Future. I listened to the Back to the Future one while driving in, and you know, it's still a great episode. I think I'd rank it with my top three. I think I'd rank Back to the Future with probably Lethal Weapon and Die Hard, and Back to the Future are my top three, with Jaws probably in the fourth place.
Sweet.
I'm not sure where I'd place the Goonies, because I'm not particularly fond of the Goonies. Whatever. That's just my opinion. Thank you for reminding me just how terrible Biff Tannen is. He's scum of the earth.
The rapist?
Just a really wretched human being. And good on you to talk about just how the logical inconsistencies for the movie never once derails the entertainment value, because, well, for one thing, time travel doesn't exist. So, I mean, why bother worrying about what could or what could not happen? So,
yes, it does.
I don't know. I think, nerds or fanboys get too broken up about stuff like that. Anyway, no other news to announce. I'm still working on my own podcast. Still planning to record an episode when I get back from the holidays. And I've got the website up. I've registered my account with Podbean. And we'll see where it goes from there. Hopefully I can get a guest to help to record something for the coming week. And beyond that, I don't know anything else. So anyway, good luck on tonight's episode. I hope everyone enjoys their July the 4th holiday, and hope everyone has had a good week, and will have a great week next week, and hope to see you in the chat room for the next episode. So, happy July the 4th, and good luck, and see y'all later. Bye.
Sweet. Okay, and be sure and tell us, Adam, when the first episode comes out, because I'll plug it here on the show. After all, you are a patron. Now, guys, what do you say we get into some entertainment?
Let's do it.
How's that sound, Bill?
I think it sounds fantastic.
Woohoo! And with that endorsement, away we go!
Eat the big Ziggy, 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 Zig.
All right, Bill. You told me you saw the documentary on Roger Ebert called Life Itself. Would you mind telling us a little about that?
Life Itself is a film made by Steve James, the director of Hoop Dreams,
Right.
Roger Ebert was incredibly supportive of him in his early days. And when Roger Ebert loves a director, he wants to get to know the director. And there's a number of films like David Gordon Green, he's a champion of Martin, as it covered in the documentary, Martin Scorsese, he was a huge, huge champion of. Mm-hmm. In fact, Martin Scorsese says that, he has the award that Siskel and Ebert gave him early on in his career, in his hallway. He passes it every day, like every 5 minutes when he's going back and forth between rooms, he passes it because it means that much to him. It pulled him out of an incredibly dark area of time where he could have just disappeared. And it, a cocaine addiction, and it pushed him to actually make Raging Bull.
Wow.
And so it's a really wonderful documentary that covers Ebert's life itself. It starts from his very early years and his years at the Illini, his college paper, and how even at a young age in his 20s, he was an incredible writer. He just knew how to construct words on the page and pull people into it. It deals with the relationship that was always slightly tenuous between him and Gene Siskel, how they were always brothers in a way, but there was an incredible amount of competition between them. A sibling rivalry, if you will. Mm-hmm. But it also deals with his sickness whenever he revealed that he had cancer and the treatments he was going through, and his life with this wonderful woman, Chaz Ebert, his wife. And it's just one of those really moving... I never read his memoir, and I wish I would have. And I think I'm going to anyways. I'm going to have to purchase it on the Kindle.
Right?
But to see him in that state after his surgeries, after the incredibly traumatic incident after his surgery when they found cancer in his jaw, there's a section of it where they talk about how he was going to go home, but as they were being discharged before they left, he wanted to play a song because he's obsessed with music. And he wanted to play Leonard Cohen's I'm Your Man. It's a song that he and Chaz really connect over. And as they're sitting in the hospital listening to it, it's a long song. He actually had an artery rupture. And if that song hadn't been as long as it was, they would have been in the car and on their way, and he probably would have died. That would have been his moment there. But that wow. happened in the hospital, luckily, and we luckily had him much longer than we would have.
Right.
But it's incredibly moving to see this man who is so full of life, such a character, have to deal with this incredible challenge and constantly fight. And it really affected me because in 1995, my father became ill and had an infection that affected his brain and spinal cord and became an incomplete paraplegic. So I had to see him regain a lot of purpose and fight through the how easy it would be to give up.
Right.
You know, and Ebert fought and fought and fought until he honestly couldn't fight anymore. And that was probably the hardest thing for me because they captured this. They were shooting the documentary as he's going through this. They had never planned, you know, I guess you never plan for death. But
mm-hmm.
when it does happen in the documentary, I just started bawling. This is a man that meant so much to my film nerddom. I mean, I grew up watching Siskel and Ebert at the movies.
Right.
From 86 on, you know, from the moment I was 7 years old and I would sit there and watch these two in syndication bicker and debate. And, it electrified me.
Mm-hmm.
They were such characters and, it honestly destroyed me. I could not sleep. I watched it at like midnight. It was over by 2 a.m. and I'm in bed crying. And then, you know, you kind of get out of it and then you go into this mode where your mind just can't stop racing. You start thinking about your own life. You start thinking about your family's life. You start thinking, you know, what would happen to me if this happened? What would happen to them if this happened? And it makes you start thinking about mm-hmm. life itself. And
right.
it's incredibly moving, incredibly powerful to see these things happen. I can't recommend watching it enough, but you have to be prepared, especially if you have
totally.
An appreciation for Roger Ebert.
I read there's a lot of humor in it, too.
There's an incredible amount of humor, but I think the thing that bothered me the most is once he lost his voice, once mm-hmm. he lost that ability to truly communicate, this man who was a wordsmith, who always thought about what he was going to say, and to have these moments where he's struggling to take a step or struggling to go upstairs. And when somebody loses their voice or loses a certain amount of their operating capacity, whether it be walking or their speech or their hearing, people then become different towards them. Even if
right.
you are family and you love them, there's a shift. And you can hear it in their voices, this hesitation, this almost a walking on eggshells, the way they approach a situation. And you can see how effing frustrated he becomes that he cannot communicate what he needs to do for himself. And everybody's trying to make this choice for him. Like, come on, Roger, stand up. You need to go up the stairs. This is what you've been working on. And all he wants to convey is, I need you to move the chair a little bit to the left so that I can stand up. But he can't say that.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying to, it's just this battle and it tore my effing heart out because I've been through that with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those things. I mean, I am so glad. Steve James is going to be in Columbus on July 15th to show this and have a Q&A. And I was going to go. And I'm glad I watched it now because I can't go. I would never. I would be embarrassed to be in public because I would be a mess. It was a really, really moving, difficult, but inspiring documentary to watch.
Right. He's left he's left behind a legacy. And we will never forget him.
No. You should see his face. There's a moment in the documentary where he's talking with his web designer. And the web designer says, here's your new site, the site we've all come to know and visit regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says to him, you will be able to access every review you've ever written back to 1965. And Ebert's face, it's all in his eyes. It's just the appreciation and the happiness that he knows what he's left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And Chaz knows what he's left behind, and she is nurturing this history that he's left for film geekdoms everywhere. And it's really, it's an amazing, amazing picture.
I can't wait to watch it.
And I haven't watched a documentary that has affected me like that in a long time. The last thing I can remember that I watched that had that amount of devastating emotion to it was, I think it's Dear Zachary, a letter from a son, or a letter.
Right, right.
It was a film about a man who was killed, and the woman that killed him gave birth to a son after he'd passed away. And that is another, I can't recommend Dear Zachary enough. That's another documentary that is one of my all-time favorites.
When you told me this was on video on demand, I was like, holy shit. And I went and looked on the box and yeah, it's there where I could watch it. And I love video on demand.
That's what I love about Magnolia Pictures. They're so mm-hmm. good about that. You know, they have films that if you want to go see it in a theater, you can, but you could also stay at home and pay $6.
Yeah.
And watch it as many times as you want over 24 hours.
Or $7.99, which it is on DirecTV.
Oh, is it? Okay. I think it's $6.99 on Amazon.
And you know what? There's another film I really want to see, but I'm not sure if it's a go to a theater type of film. And the only reason I say that is because, again, the argument that anything that's not XD, the theater usually sucks. It's usually some shitty art house theater or something like that. And that is Boyhood, Richard Linklater's film.
Have I told you, I'm so excited. The Wexner Center for the Arts in Columbus, on the 17th, Richard Linklater will be in attendance, and he's awesome. Showing Boyhood with a Q&A.
Oh, you got to go to that.
And it's they're doing a reception from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. They're showing the film at 7 o'clock, and then they're doing a Q&A. And I am so excited because I, as a filmmaker, that is a guy I truly respect. I mean, he, starting from Slacker, a film that has no real narrative, you know, but he builds
like
one.
Experimental, and it inspired so many people that were like, I could make a movie, you know?
And, yeah. It inspired a generation of filmmakers.
You know, when I read about Boyhood, and in fact, we read about it for years. We knew it was being made.
Yeah.
Some kind of film he would, it took 12 years with this boy, and each year they would film some more of the film, you know, so it shows him growing up in the film. Yeah. The amount of patience it took to make that and to see it all completed is, I bet you it's extraordinary. I can't
but
wait to see it.
Also, the balls mm-hmm. to attempt it. I mean, 12 years is a long time. Anything can happen to these people.
It makes
if
me think.
One of them die.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do? Do you incorporate that into the story?
Yeah, you'd have to.
it's amazing that he even attempted it.
Well, so much of Hollywood now is that crank these movies out kind of thing. Got to get it out. I love seeing that it took something so long, and it's a painstaking process, but it's very rewarding to see it completed, and I can't wait to. What I was trying to say before is I hope it comes on video on demand.
I really hope it does. I don't know who's distributing it, but I hope it does, because that's one of those films that I have a feeling is going to be very difficult to watch. I've heard it's very emotional. Mm-hmm. And especially to see these people grow up. But when I go to this thing, I'm going to have such a difficult time not geeking out. I mean, Dazed and Confused, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight, Scanner Darkly. I love Scanner Darkly.
I still haven't seen the third Sunrise movie.
It's been playing nonstop on one of the pay channels. I can't remember which one it is, but I've watched it like 4 times.
Oh, shit. I need to see
it. And Bernie.
It's
Bernie.
On Stars, isn't it, I bet?
Probably.
Bernie is one of those films that I don't think anybody saw, but it's so good with Jack Black and Shirley MacLaine.
Uh-huh.
And it's a Texas story.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it. I've never actually sat and watched it, and I know it's been on Netflix forever.
Yeah, it's really good. It's darkly funny, and it's it's great. I love having something like that around, you know, 40 minutes from me that people really love film. In fact, I found out this week that they're going to be showing 2001 A Space Odyssey in 70mm.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, when I read that, I was just like, because I've always wanted, that's the 70mm film that has always escaped me. Like, I've seen Lawrence of Arabia. I've seen it in 70mm. I've seen it in 4K there. But I've never seen 2001 in 70mm. So I'm really excited about it.
Oh, my God. Some kind of 2001 shit, Bill. Ah, it creeps me out. That whole part when they first, you know, early on in the film, there's not a lot of dialogue.
No.
And seriously, you're very seriously testing the audience. It's all visual where it's awesome effects. But I'm talking about this day and age. Try sitting a teenager. Okay, watch this film. That first opening moments where it's making like that, and the people are walking towards the monolith. It's just like, dude, dad, I'm checked out. I'm out of here. This is the most boring movie. No, but 2001's an awesome film, but it's pretty cool. And also Bill and Ted at the Wexner Center, right, Bill?
Yeah, oh my God, I'd freak out. I have been bugging them every time I go there.
Ziggy piggy.
Every time I go there, I bug the guys that are the head of that department. Because I want them to bring the 4K version of Die Hard.
Oh, and, yeah.
And they're very artsy-fartsy. Like, they're doing this thing right now. It starts tonight called A Summer Abroad.
Give us a break, Thornburg.
Or actually, yeah, it starts tonight. And they're starting with the 4K restoration of A Hard Day's Night. So then they're, you know, they do like
hey,
the Umbrellas of Cherbourg and Alphaville and Godzilla, the original in 4K, and last year, Marion Bad, like really artsy-fartsy stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm always on them, like, you guys need to do a series that's just like Hollywood Explosions and bring, like, the classic, do a Shane Black retrospective. I mean, because Richard Linklater's visiting with Boyhood, after that, they're doing a retrospective on him where they're showing, like, his version of the Bad News Bears, Before Sunrise, what else? Before Sunset, Me and Orson Welles, Bernie. Like, they're just going through his entire filmography. And, they'll do something like that for a director. They're also doing Terry Zygoff. Yeah, they're doing, like, Crumb and Louie Bluey and Bad Santa. And all those in October.
I've never
seen
Louie Bluey. What's that?
Louie Bluey?
Yeah, I've never seen that.
That's the, I think that, is that his short film?
I love Crumb.
Yeah, I think it's his first film. Chronicle of Country Blues, string musician
Howard Armstrong.
Didn't he
do Ghost World also? Did he do Ghost World?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, love that film too.
Yeah, it's.
I remember the one he did that I was like, I really wanted to like, but I ended up not liking the second half as the art school one.
Oh, art
school. Yeah, I had a very hard time with that.
The beginning of it, the art school stuff is fun, and then they bring in like a murder, and then all this other stuff. I really lost interest. It was unfortunate.
Oh, and that movie like introduced me to Sophia Miles, and I've just.
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic, especially in our favorite film, Bill. Outlander!
Now, what are you, hypnotized?
She did a movie also that's super creepy and not very good in the... what was it called? It was really... God, this is going to drive me crazy unless I look it up. I just remember, like, a guy watching her as she, like, has sex with someone else from, like, her... I think it's Hallam Foe with, or Mr. Foe.
Mr.
Foe. Slow motion here.
Yeah, I just remember watching it being really uncomfortable.
It's not a great movie, but
no,
it's interesting. It's Jamie Bell, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, I'm totally digressing.
No, she's fantastic. I'm a big fan of Claire Forlani's
in that too, and I think she plays his like stepmom. And
yeah,
she's...
the film has so much potential. Art School Confidential is what I'm talking about, but don't you think the second half it's just like
it kind of falls off,
loses its way. And I just got to bring it up now, Bill, because it comes out next Friday. I'm really excited about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh my God, I know. I'm so excited about coming down there and hoping that a lot of these movies are still in there. So that we could go see them together.
Like, yeah, that's what we'll definitely be able to see, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which yes!
I'm really excited to see with you and Steven and Emma and Heather. It's going to be a big, we're going to have a big, we're going to take up that whole,
back row.
Yeah. Except for if Nicholas is there, he'll be down in the center. I'm kidding. But,
shit happens.
Now, Bill.
We'll send Severin down there to sit with him.
There's a documentary I'm interested in seeing. I don't know if you guys, I don't know if Bill, maybe you're you like a lot of music.
Oh, God, yeah.
20,000 Days on Earth about Nick Cave.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to see him in 2 weeks. I'm excited.
In concert?
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Austin City Limits. I hope they're recording it to
play. Will Bill be here at that time? Or
no,
is
it's the 19th. July 19th.
That's
I've
cool.
always found him such a fascinating guy. He's done a lot of really interesting films. Mm-hmm. The music for, like, The Proposition, which I remember showing my dad. I love The Proposition.
That's the Guy Pearce movie, right?
Yeah, the Guy Pearce, the Australian Western. It's really dark and uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's the director who did The Road. It's all atmosphere kind of
yeah.
thing.
I showed it to my dad, and my dad was like, that is the worst effing movie I've ever watched.
It's very somber.
Yeah, he just didn't get it. Like, my dad is used to, like, the spaghetti westerns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm talking this thing up like, oh, you got to see this. It's a great western. He goes, ooh, western. He watched it. And then he's like, why would you ever make me watch that?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you just got to be like, I don't think somebody will be like this.
Do you know when that one's getting the theatrical release or if it's just going to be art house, the 20,000 Days, Bill?
Oh, that'll be art house. Yeah, that's going to be hard to find.
Netflix. That's one thing that's great about Netflix. They get all the documentaries.
Yeah, they do. And they get them fast.
Yeah, they do. Life itself will probably be on there in a month or something, you know.
I don't doubt that at all. Let's see here. I'm looking to see... Okay, so its initial release is going to be in the UK. There's no word on a release here. Sundance 2014. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything.
They're making a lot of rounds, and
I'm sure you go to the website and look for advanced screenings.
Yeah.
I see screenings in Austin that weekend, the 20th and 21st. Ooh. Is that the weekend you're going to be down there?
It's the 19th is the show, so it'll be the next day, that Sunday.
Yeah, maybe that's why they're showing him. He'll probably show up to him at the Alamo.
Oh, that would be cool if he was there at the screening.
Thank you, Bill.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, Sunday the 20th and Monday the 21st. I bet you he shows up to the one on Sunday the 20th.
Totally cool, man.
I'm gonna see if I can find tickets now.
Well, we'll look forward to that in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. But what do you guys say we get into TiVo, and then we'll take a break soon?
Cool.
Let's do it! What's on a TiVo? You know what's funny? Just before the show, I had everything prepared to do the show yesterday, but it was foolish of me to plan a 4th of July show. I won't try that next year, but it'll be on Saturday anyway, right? But so we're doing a Saturday show. And I was like, I got everything ready to go. It's no big deal. All we got to do is just go live and we're good. But then I watched a video online where I'm like, okay, I got to put this in the show. And it's Joan Rivers being interviewed on CNN. And she's on the defensive right away because, you know, Joan Rivers does those shows where they just talk about fashion and what women are wearing on the red carpet.
They make fun of people.
Yeah, and they make fun of people. And the lady says, and your humor can be mean too when you make fun of what people are wearing. And she's like, it's not mean, okay? I'm not doing anything that other women don't do to other women. And she goes on the defensive, and she never kind of recovers from being defensive. And it's just kind of entertaining. So let's check this out. My favorite thing is the reactions of the reporter where she starts being accused of attacking her, and she just keeps going, no, no, I'm not.
I wonder who the reporter is.
Let's see. Let's check this out.
You know, you've got best-selling books. You sell out on stage, even with your fashion critiquing. While it's very mean in some ways, people
it's not
can't
mean.
Wait to
it's
hear
not
what
mean.
Really?
It's not mean. You can. It's not mean. I tell the truth. I'm sure I say the same things that all your viewers say to their friends sitting next to them on the couch. You know, we're one of the few shows that says that's an ugly dress. And that's okay. These ladies make $28 million a picture. You really think that Nicki Minaj cares? I didn't like her dress.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you're in that kind of a bracket, you don't really care.
Yeah, you're not someone really worried like about feelings being hurt.
Well, not when it's about dresses. It's not about them. It's about clothing.
Okay. Well, what about when it is about something, you know, that really does seem off limits to a lot of people? I mean, even in your book, you kind of joke about the death of Casey Anthony's baby, Princess Diana surviving
so many
landmines.
Okay, this woman sounds like she's digging for a reaction.
I mean, do you feel like there are boundaries ever, you know, even if it makes people uncomfortable or offend people or what?
Life is very tough. And if you can make a joke to make something easier and funny, do it. Done. Do it. That's all. Wait, Darlene, I don't know what your life has been like, but I have a lot of people who have gone through hell. And if you can make, Winston Churchill said, if you make someone laugh, you give them a little vacation. And maybe you take the worst thing in the world and make it funny. It's a vacation for a minute from horror.
Yeah, and people love to laugh. I mean, clearly why people love you. But they also know that you have some shock value to you. I mean, you're on the cover of your
book. This woman is horrible.
You knew that there would probably be animal rights activists.
You know, this whole interview is becoming a defensive interview.
No!
Are you wearing leather shoes?
Yeah!
Shut up.
No, I'm talking...
You know what I mean? I don't want to hear. You're wearing fur. You're wearing leather shoes.
I'm not an activist,
eating chicken.
Yeah.
You're eating meat. I don't want to hear this nonsense. Come to me with a paper belt, and I'll talk to you.
But you did hear it in some of those press conferences. There were people who were upset. And you're just saying, no way.
You know, I'm going. I really am going because all you have done is negative.
No.
All you have done is negative. I haven't heard that. I made people laugh for 50 years. I am put on earth to make people laugh. My book is funny. I wear fur that was killed 15 years ago. I work for animal rights. Stop it with, and you do this, and you're mean, and you're that. You are not the one to interview a person who does humor. Sorry.
Yep.
Are we serious? Oh, boy. Yeah, she was serious. And I thought she was joking the whole time.
Yeah, and you're freaking awful. I mean, holy shit, Joan Rivers is a woman that has dealt with so much shit in her life. I mean, from we've seen the story with her and Johnny Carson that actually led to the suicide of her husband. He was so distraught that he had created this, basically devastated his wife's career, that he committed suicide.
Yeah.
And she turned that around into humor. And this is a woman who wrote a book, who's promoting the book, and the first thing out of this woman's mouth is, you're mean.
Mm-hmm.
That is an awful interview.
It's not mean.
That she was digging.
About people. No. She's saying stuff about people's dresses.
Yeah, mm-hmm. this is something that, you know, that I don't watch the Fashion Police, but it's probably one of E's highest rated things. It's like she said, this is something for women that sit around and they kind of, you know, the kind of catty, backstabbing way that they do things, but it's not mean.
We know not to watch it because that's not our bag.
Yeah, I just don't get what this woman was going for. That was incredibly cruel.
This, you're accusing me, and the lady's like,
No!
That's unbelievable.
That's pretty funny. That I'm glad I watched that right before the show.
I'm glad that Joan Rivers walked out. Now, but the thing is, this lady's getting so much press for it.
Oh, yeah. This video is going to be everywhere. Whenever somebody walks off an interview, she even speculates, maybe this is some kind of publicity stunt for her book. It has nothing to do with, maybe it's because you put her.
An interview?
I mean, because let's face it, Joan was on one of those, what do you call it, the closed circuit interview where she's, you know, in front of a mic and a camera and all these different people interview her all over the nation in one sitting. So she's probably exhausted and she's in her 70s. And then this lady comes on and takes that tactic with her and she's probably like, I'm done.
Yeah, I don't blame her. I really don't. I'm not a huge fan of Joan Rivers. I think her best interviews are whenever she's on the Howard Stern show because they're acquaintances. They've known each other for years. And Howard is an excellent interviewer. I don't care what anybody thinks of him, but he knows how to interview a person. And when you start off an interview attacking someone, that's tactless.
Yeah. I bet Will Wheaton would do a better job.
And he would show off his arm tattoos.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Have you seen that lately?
Yeah.
Why does he have his sleeve rolled up now showing off his Cthulhu tattoo?
Well, he's a geek, you know. He wants to connect with the audience.
Check out my tattoo. But it looks like so obvious that if he was wearing a short sleeve shirt, okay, but he's wearing a button down with a tie and a rolled up sleeve. Sleeves. So it's well,
that's the style now, man. You know, it's dressy casual.
So, in this week's episode of the Will Wheaton Project, it's just unfathomable how unfunny this is. But you guys know that the Queen of England visited the Game of Thrones set. You know, everyone reported that.
Like, they're digging that up.
Yeah. They keep mentioning Game of Thrones every week. Like, it's almost like I picture, like, Will Wheaton saying, well, the Game of Thrones stuff's a gold mine for us, so let's go back to that. And the Queen of England visited it, so let's pretend there's footage of her walking around the Iron Throne, looking at it, and some of the cast are there, and she kind of walks over to them, and they bow and stuff. What if we pretend she was mic'd up, and this is what she says? And this is what you're going to hear here. And then afterwards, they show a trailer to Deliver Us From Evil, that new Eric Bana horror film.
Right.
But what if we did it Deliver Us From Evil Pizzeria in New York? It's an evil pizzeria.
You're not serious.
I'm not. I'm totally serious. Let's check this out.
The Queen of England visited the Game of Thrones set in Northern Ireland this week. As expected, Her Majesty...
He's snickering before he even starts the bit. Like, he's so excited to play it for us. He's like, the Queen of England...
He's so entertained by himself.
Oh, my God.
At the actors, looked at props and sets, and royally milled about. What wasn't expected was that her mic was live.
Hello, hello, hello. No spoilers, please.
Oh, greetings. That laughter.
My hat is a cake. Where are all the tits? The tits, man. Where are they? I talked to the showrunner. You're dead, you're dead, you're cool. Dead, dead, dead.
Why don't you sit on the throne?
No.
Everyone wants to see you sit on the throne.
Which is why I don't want to sit on the throne.
Oh, I'm cringing.
Okay, here I go. I'm about to sit. No, I'm not going to sit on the throne.
Oh, you rascally queen.
Who knew the queen was a boob man? Jerry Bruckheimer's new horror film, Deliver Us From Evil, comes out this Friday. It is a gritty, real-life tale of exorcism set in New York City that has such a deep sense of New York culture that some businesses have begun to capitalize on it.
Mommy.
Deliver us from evil.
And we'll deliver you from evil in 20 minutes or less, or it's a free.
An old man named Santino.
You better we do. Santino from evil. And he's got the best pies in town. So when your stomach sounds like this. Deliver it from evil.
That's why when people ask Will Wheaton, I've seen a mask on his website, they're like, what's with the laugh track? And he goes, it is no laugh track. It's a live audience. But I'm like, the reason they're asking you that is because no one could believe anyone would really laugh at this shit.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
I'm grinding my teeth. That's so bad.
It really is.
It won't be back next year.
It can't possibly, can it?
No.
He was posting after every episode about their numbers and how they were doing. He's really enthusiastic. I've noticed nothing the past 2 weeks he hasn't posted. I think it's because
they were interested to see how it went. They watched two or three episodes and it was like, no.
Now he's like, I'm taking off my suit jacket. I'm rolling up my sleeves. I'm going to show him I'm one of them. Maybe I'm too uptight with my suit on, Bill. You think that's what it is?
Yeah, I watched the one episode you told me whenever he rolled up his sleeves. I haven't watched it since, and I'm glad, because that's just awful.
Yeah, it's, I was hoping he would do good, but it's...
Yeah, I'm sure he's a very nice guy, like, but that's just terrible.
God.
The writing, terrible. Everything is terrible.
It really is. It's god-awful. It's Arsenio bad, like I said before. It's like Arsenio's writers all got fired because the show got canceled. They got hired on the Will Wheaton project.
It's Magic Johnson's show bad.
Mm-hmm.
This constant snickering at yourself is bad.
Hey, guys, check this out. Okay. You know, the first week of Next Great Baker, I played you guys a clip where the people didn't finish their cake. All they had was like melted, or not melted, what do you call it? Just raw cake batter where it's just liquefied. Well, this week, the same thing happened again. And it's funny because Buddy wants to do something like the pressure test in MasterChef where these people are going head to head. But what keeps happening is the people like, I got nothing. These people all have to make a candy of some kind, a piece of candy for them to all try.
When did he start making candy?
Well, it's because of the episode was candy centric where they had to make a cake that was like something like 100 pounds of candy on the cake or something.
Jesus.
And these guys lost. So all the team members had to each make their own candy to present to the judges. These one guys, they make their own chocolate. Everything's all fancy. And then he's like, how do we make this candy bar? Put it in the freezer blaster chiller. Yeah, the blast chiller. And so when he's like, five, the guy's like got a knife. He's trying to cut the chocolate out of the piece of plastic because it won't come out because it's frozen. Four. And he's like, three. And he's like, two, one. And the guy's just like, and he's like got nothing. And this was the guy in the first week, he hurt his foot and was limping around. And everyone's like, look at this guy with the limpy foot. Are we supposed to feel sorry for him? This entire episode, he's been fine. And all of a sudden, Buddy's like, could you guys please approach? And he's like, and he starts limping again.
boy.
And there's these catty bitches. They're from Texas. They're the Texas women. They're from Tomball, Texas. And they're the women who, when they first showed up in the first episode, they're like, fake. What am I supposed to be impressed by? Their muscles? Well, they're on here this week, and they're commenting on everybody again because they're catty bitches. But let me go ahead and play this for you.
It's not mean, right?
Yeah. It's just the Texan way, I guess. I don't know.
Freddie already has the mold, the shell, Freddie. Made.
He has moldy and candy
So
bars.
It's time to start putting the fillings in.
Have you ever
made noticed
candy
that bill? The chocolate
not
the shell
really.
Is there, but it's not quite set. Fully set.
I'm a little concerned about his time.
No time. No time to waste.
Oh, you put him in the freezer for a few minutes.
He got a few minutes left, Chuck.
Nice chiller.
So I grab the mold and I run. Go to this sub-zero, below 40 degree blast freezer.
I need one of those.
This is now a serious, serious gamble.
Stick my Diet Cokes in
there. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop your work. Stop your work.
They even have
no
the other contestants watching on a
pad.
Screen.
Beautiful
in
initials,
room.
But no chocolate
They're
bar.
They're stealing everything from other
Fred and Barry.
Other
cooking shows. Just come to the front.
I'm glad Fred and Barry failed this challenge. What's the good in being so ambitious if you fail every time? And then all of a sudden,
doesn't that go against
Fred's
every
leg is
saying
again.
About
just like on the last challenge
that you tried
seriously?
And failed?
They
didn't do
it
anything
really annoyed
at all.
Me.
What happened, guys?
Wasn't enough time.
We would have knocked your socks off with the candy bar, but woulda, coulda, shoulda. It didn't happen.
I mean, everything comes down to time management. Always aiming high, but never being able to execute.
But he hasn't gotten to eat anything to judge it.
Yeah. Good effort, but back to your table. Unfortunately, you made our jobs pretty easy. Fred and Barry, you're eliminated. I'm sorry. You're not the next great bakers.
The other teams are extraordinarily lucky that we just did not get our product on the plate. If we did, one of the other two teams would have been going home.
Yeah, they're really
lucky. I'm glad Fred and Barry are the ones to go home. But then again, do I feel like Julie and Danielle should stay? No, not at all.
No.
God, what a bitch. I want to get this saying on a t-shirt.
What's the good in being so ambitious if you fail every time?
Yeah. What kind of attitude is that?
Holy shit.
What good
like
is it
saying
being
don't bother trying because you suck?
Yeah, yeah, that's basically what you say. But I was like, the whole saying is, you know, try. It's better to try and fail than to not try at all. But she's saying, no. It's better. What good is it if you're just going to fail?
Don't try at all.
And
because
that's,
you're going to fail.
That wisdom straight from Tomball, Texas. And they had to do this team effort where they made a candy type Wonderland. And this one cute young girl from, I don't know, she's from Tennessee or something. She makes this lollipop out of fondant. And that Texas girl's like, it is so ugly. As soon as she's not looking, I'm going to get rid of it. So she turned around and she was doing something. She went over and she ripped it off and she threw it down and started tearing all the fondant off of it. She was like, what did you just do? And she goes, this is ugly and you're not putting it on the cake. And I was just like, what kind of a bitch? Why not suggest to her changing it instead of just basically sabotaging it, you know?
Wow.
It's so weird on these cooking shows, even like MasterChef, people start to become like just assholes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. Like why? What I don't understand is people that have talent don't have to worry about other people. So why don't just concentrate on yourself instead of creating drama? But I guess it wouldn't be a TV show then.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't be entertaining, but still, those people need to realize those type of people never win these shows.
Yeah, they don't. They end up getting voted off, or they stick around because it's good for ratings.
It really annoyed me.
Yeah, and everyone cheers when they get eliminated, finally. Now, I want to talk about Hell's Kitchen real quick, Steve. And
okay.
Everyone is doing really well on the show. No one ever messes up. Am I right?
Never.
What's with that Scott guy? Why do you choose now to start being annoyed that Chef is always yelling at me and I don't think I could take it much longer?
He's been beat down.
Yeah. And that Keisha, she's all getting like worked up too. Is it Bill? Is her name Acacia or Keisha?
Acacia? I don't know.
Acacia. I think. Wait.
I don't think there's
a case of Chardonnay.
No, Acacia.
They order a case of Chardonnay.
We get a case of Chardonnay.
No, a case of.
Okay. So we get a case of Chardonnay?
A case of. A case of Chardonnay.
A case of?
Yes, Chardonnay.
A case of.
No, a case of.
A case of.
Wait, what is it?
They ordered wine. They order
a case of.
They ordered what?
Wine.
A case of.
A case of.
A case of.
Acacia.
It just goes on forever.
Put that in right now.
Acacia Chardonnay.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
we want a case of Chardonnay.
And so Acacia Chardonnay, which happens to be her last name, by the way.
Oh.
Crazy coincidence.
That's her winery.
She's all getting pissed off too. Don't you love, I was telling Bill, I call it the door slam cam, where he's like, come here! And he goes, slam! And the camera like shakes as he's yelling at him. I love that. But in this clip, Scott can't take it anymore, and he talks back to Chef Ramsay.
Uh-oh.
You don't do that, guys. You don't do it.
Chef Ramsay is looking to Scott to deliver the last appetizers of the night.
Where's those two risotto, please?
Dude, I gotta start these two over. That's mush.
What, is mush?
Yeah, it's mushy.
Two risotto, how long?
Yeah, 6 minutes, Chef.
6 minutes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, Chef.
What happened?
Scott, there's only six.
Oh, like when
left.
He goes,
you can't
what?
Hide behind anyone.
That's another thing Scott keeps doing. When he messes up, he hides the food. Have you noticed that? He'll stick it away somewhere. And Gordon's like, where is it? What did you do? He's like, it doesn't matter. You know, let me just refire it.
anymore. So if you up, he's going to know who it is.
Joy, he won't tell me. He's got no balls. Why are you throwing that risotto away?
Because it was on the risotto.
No balls.
He's a fucking eunuch.
I want the truth. Get me that risotto. Get me the risotto. I'll ask again. Yes. What's wrong with it?
It overcooked, Chef. It was mushy.
So I want to know.
Yes, Chef.
Okay?
Yes, Chef.
Before you set me back another 6 minutes, that's my job. I need to know.
Yes, Chef. I'm sick of getting yelled at. Chef, you've beaten my ass every single day that I've been here. I'm starting to get angry about it.
The salmon is not even cooked properly. It's still moving in the pan. It's raw.
It's
raw. Hello, I'm talking to you. I know you don't care. I do care.
Chef, I didn't want to overcook them.
Oh, stop.
Keisha's dead weight. She's just, she got her head cut off.
Keisha, how long you need?
Keisha, let us know when you're walking with your stand.
It's been a second now.
Uh-oh. Sorry, I just didn't know.
Settle down, please.
When somebody gets in the weeds, like, that's your time to shine as far as how you get out of the weeds. How am I?
You see, I'm steady moving.
Keisha, hey, is that you giving up now?
No, I haven't given up.
Get control of your section.
Yes, Chef. I'm trying to give my all, and I'm still getting out of there that fast.
Oh, boy.
She's getting all of it.
Is the chicken ready? Chicken is ready.
Give me 4 minutes. Damn.
While Scott and Keisha rush to refire the halibut,
it must be really hard to make
Chef Ramsay makes sure that the anniversary couple receives at least some food.
By the way, when they showed the anniversary couple, they were frightening. Am I right?
Yeah, I was genuinely scared.
She was like, oh, you like this? He's like, And I was like,
oh! Yeah.
And there was some really cute-looking girl at the table with them. Was that their daughter? I don't know.
It was inappropriate.
What happened there? Hey, you two. Bring me... Hey, you. Hey, come here, you.
Hey, you.
Yeah, bring it.
You.
I'm going to turn you upside down. Put that down. Hey, what happened there? Scott!
Yes, Chef?
Don't run away. What happened there?
I have no idea, Chef. I just pulled him out of the oven. They were like that.
No idea how that happened.
Chef, I don't know how it happened.
Oh, my
God. It just happened.
I can see you've given up caring.
What are you... I don't know what you're talking about, Chef.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. You don't give him any talk back at all. Chef's not going to put up with that.
Hey, you. Hey, come here, you. All of you, a lesson in common sense. Have you had enough? Have you had enough?
No, Chef.
Do you know what? Because I have. I've had enough.
The hell
so
is this cook, Chef?
Shut it. Still haven't got any idea what I'm talking about.
I do, Chef.
Scott is being Scott. Chef Ramsay is like in his grill. That was crazy.
There was this funny part where the big guy, Jason, he was coming in the door and they didn't realize that Andy was walking out, Chef Andy, and she was pulling on the door, but he pulled on at the same time and kind of jerked her back. And he goes, oh, and they were like, oh, sorry, Chef. And she walks outside and he goes, dude, that chick scares me. Did you hear him say that about Chef Andy? It cracked me up. That chick
She's
scares
intimidating.
Me. So anyway, that's Hell's Kitchen. Now, I'm going to play one MasterChef clip, then we'll take a break, and we will collect our thoughts. But first, MasterChef, something similar happened to Next Great Baker in a way where, you know, you're doing an elimination challenge and someone makes it where it doesn't even matter anymore.
Right.
Because they screw something up. Where, what's that girl's name? Who they had to make, what is that stuff called?
Panna cotta.
Yeah. Panna cotta. And what's that girl's name?
Which one? Tina Belcher?
Yes.
Yes.
Jamie.
Now Tina Belcher is a character on Bob's Burgers, right?
Yes.
And does she sound like her?
Looks like her.
Oh, she looks like her, almost identical. The toothy grin, the glasses, the hair with the bangs.
So she makes 3 panna cottas, but when she goes back to the freezer, the blast chiller, I don't know what that, she's like, there's only 2. What happened? And then we get to hear Gordon spell it all out for us in the longest way possible. Am I right? He could have just, for the first time ever, you know, somebody's brought up something that they didn't cook. But no, he can't talk that fast. He's got to slow it down. So let's check this out.
Somebody took a panna cotta off my tray. I originally put in 3 panna cottas, and as I pull my tray out, there's only 2 here. I don't know if somebody took it or on accident or was trying to sabotage me. My first panna cotta, it just puddles. Oh, I guess I should have tried out the other one.
She's already crying.
There was this character that Gilda Radner used to do on Saturday Night Live with Bill Murray. Do you remember that? Yeah. He'd give her noogies. That's who she runs this.
You have to do this. Go to YouTube and type in Bob's Burgers Tina Moan.
Do you want me to do it right now?
And I swear to God, she moans just like Tina Belcher. Because anytime there's a stressful situation, the character of Tina starts moaning. She doesn't know how to react. So it's just this, and it sounds exactly like her.
She does look like the girl on.
I'm telling you. Okay.
That's pretty funny. Wow. But when the guy is revealed to have basically presented something he didn't cook, and they tell him, you know, it's against the rules. Listen to the incredible, touching music that starts playing. It is so. Tugs at the heartstrings.
Tyler, please, let's go.
All right, Tyler.
3 blindfolds, please.
3 blindfolds.
Blindfolds.
Is there anything you want to tell me about this dish?
I thought everything was coming together, and then when it was time to plate, I had a, you know, jackknife powerbomb the ramekin on the plate just to get it out of there.
Right, I had no idea Tyler. Those things were called ramekins before this episode.
Very first time,
oh, yeah?
Someone has bought a dish that...
Casserole dish.
Did
I don't
not
know.
Cook.
What do you mean, chef?
What do you see on that tray, young man?
My ramekins.
Your ramekins?
Yes, chef. I put my ramekins on the top shelf, and I don't know if they got switched. I don't know,
okay.
Chef.
You didn't. They're on the bottom shelf, bottom left-hand side.
You put 4 ramekins in the blast chiller. I just pulled out the same
blast
4.
Blast chiller.
You served us. Jamie's panna cotta.
I had no clue.
Steven Gass.
I apologize.
For the record, I 100% believe you.
The chef.
I didn't know
I think you panicked.
Word he said.
I think you ran in there.
I did not either.
Seconds to go and grabbed somebody else's dish. This is a first in MasterChef history. I'm afraid Joe, Graham, and myself need a few seconds to catch up. Stay there. Oh, dear. I can't believe this is happening.
If we wanted to taste his dish, it would be disrespectful to every other contestant who played by the rules.
And the rules of the competition.
I don't know if I would call it disrespectful.
You have to plate your food. Now, I don't think it was meant purposely. I think it was just a complete mistake.
Rules are rules.
Rules are rules. Tyler. I am so sorry, but your journey is going to end. Tonight.
Wow, it took him a long time to say tonight. Maybe he couldn't find the word.
He was thinking about tomorrow.
Okay.
Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, young man, we've seen your journey go from this up to there, and we had no idea.
From this to there, from A to Z.
Promise.
Listen for the harp kind of
yourself
enter in
that you'll continue cooking because
harp or like
you're going to make it.
Fairy dust just
I think you're that good.
From the sky.
Thank you, chef.
Anything you'd like to say to us before you go?
Again, I apologize for what happened. I understand your decision, and I appreciate everything you guys have allowed me to do. Jamie, I apologize. I'm sorry. I had no intent on doing
that. Makes me feel like
I need to fart. I'm sorry that you grabbed mine.
And hey, at least if they would have tasted it, it would have tasted pretty damn good.
I'm sorry you grabbed mine.
Thank you.
Tyler, please.
She seems like a sweet girl.
Place it on your bench.
She does.
Good luck, my man.
Thank you, guys. Thank
you. Good
luck, my man.
Thank you, chef. Appreciate that.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
So, Tina Belcher. That's who I'm hoping wins. So what do you guys say we take a break and we'll be right back? All right, everybody. See you on the flip side. Whatever that means. I don't even know what it means.
Chocolate lovers, watch out for new Choco Bliss.
Oh, what a sweet sensation. Oh, it's just what you do to me. New Choco Bliss, a chocolatey creation. Three layers make it chocolatey. Moist and chocolatey cake with chocolatey filling. Chocolatey ice makes a smooth Choco Bliss. A dream come true.
New Choco Bliss from Hostess. Watch out.
Ahoy, little buddies. It's the Skipper. And the Superstation's got a contest that's so easy, even Gilligan could win. I'll ask you trivia questions, and all you have to do is watch Gilligan's Island Monday through Thursday at 5:05 Eastern on the Superstation to get the answer. You could win one of these terrific little color TVs. The grand prize is a 7-day Caribbean cruise. The Castaway Quiz starts September 15th. So tell all of your little buddies about Gilligan's Island on Superstation WTBS.
Something good is coming up. Gonna get the biscuit now. Can't wait for Bisquick biscuit. Call it up cold and brown.
Fluffy biscuit beats you right.
Something good is coming up. When you get the biscuit down. Biscuit just like family. So good to have around.
Get the biscuit down.
Today's Duracell battery. It lasts up to 30% longer than the ones we made just 2 years ago. Duracell. No battery lasts longer.
Mama keeps yellow dandelion. Mama keeps white, bright like the sunshine. Mama keeps blue, twinkling like a horizon. Mama's got the magic Clorox too.
Clorox 2 off-fabric bleach does more than brighten whites. It removes stains and amplifies bright colors, brings colors back to life.
Mama keeps me looking like I'm brand new. Mama's got the magic, Mama's got the magic Clorox 2.
No little cinnamon gum freshens breath longer than Big Red.
So kiss a little longer, laugh a little longer, stay close a little longer, longer with Big Red.
Here's Lipton tea lover, Don Meredith.
Don, I've had it.
Oh, Harold.
I'm so thirsty.
Harold, I know what you need. Some icy cold, brisk Lipton tea.
Brisk?
What
brisk?
That special Lipton taste. It comes from a special blend in this rascal.
Hey, that is brisk.
Mm-hmm. Best tasting tea I know.
I feel terrific.
Then let's exercise some more.
Not that terrific. Good, I feel good.
You rascal.
Oh, my goodness, he caught the ball!
The following message is about life.
Bob, right off his head!
The life you don't get in an ordinary battery. And the life you do get in new Kodak Superlight Alkaline batteries. They last much longer than ordinary batteries. And only Superlight has a real gold tip to ensure the best content.
Oh, yeah, let's see it again on the replay.
Now, do you settle for the ordinary or go for the gold?
Read any good microwave popcorns lately? Now this one says, it's normal for 1 to 3 tablespoons of kernels to remain unpopped. And this one is only recommended for certain wattage microwaves. Now this one is Pop Secret from Betty Crocker. Pop Secret works in all microwaves and it pops up beautifully, light and fluffy. The next time you want to curl up with a good microwave popcorn, make it Pop Secret. The secret to better microwave popcorn.
What a mess. My daughter left a lipstick in her pocket, and before I even noticed, I washed it. I had to try something, so I grabbed Liquid Tide. Guess what? Not one mark of the lipstick remained. Thanks, Mrs. Judy Davis.
Can your Liquid Get Out melted lipstick? Liquid Tide did. You'll be surprised at the things Liquid Tide gets out. Surprise yourself.
I still can't believe how amazing you are.
So sweet dreams, little Katie. And sweet dreams for me, too. Because I'm about to have something so rich, so creamy.
General Foods International Coffee's Cafe Vienna, with the spicy sweetness of cinnamon. Unlike anything else, turning quiet time into a quiet celebration.
Celebrate the moments of your life.
With General Foods International Coffee's.
Tonight, make dinner special.
Stovetop stuffing.
What a drag it is getting old, especially if you're a battery. So Kodak introduces Superlife Alkaline Batteries. They last much longer than ordinary batteries, and only Superlife has a real gold tip to ensure the best contact. Now, do you settle for the ordinary or go for the gold?
Introducing Lipton Rice and Sauce Italiano. All prepared for you by Lipton, with a delicate flavor simmered inside. So simple. So delicious. From the new side dish collection called Rice and Sauce with Vegetables. Lipton Rice and Sauce Italiano, with that delicately seasoned taste.
For every woman whose microwave cookware is too hot to handle, Rubbermaid makes cookware that keeps it cool. For every woman who's baffled by those food keepers you can't see through, Rubbermaid clears things up. You can buy something less than Rubbermaid, but then you won't get something made like Rubbermaid. Don't you wish everything was made like Rubbermaid?
Mopping the old-fashioned way can seem like the biggest job in the world. You need Light and Thirsty, the revolutionary new mop from O-Cedar. Light and Thirsty has durable cloth strips that absorb 20% more than ordinary mop string. It rings out with just a twist and even stands up to machine washing and drying. So if you'd like to cut your mopping chores down to size, get new Light and Thirsty from O-Cedar, the best mop you've ever used, or your money back.
You know, it's funny. Lots of people used to think what made a great raisin bran was just a couple of scoops of raisins. But today, people want more. That's why today's people prefer Post natural raisin bran. Post is different.
Look how some raisin brands hide their raisins with sugar, not Post. These beauties are naturally sweet. And taste these crispy wheat and bran flakes. Fantastic. So don't settle for just any raisin bran. Insist on Post natural raisin bran. Today's people prefer Post.
Nothing beats a Stouffer's pizza. Luscious toppings on a French bread crust so crispy brown. All those great ingredients, it's so easy to pick up, but so hard to put down.
Help yourself, help yourself, help yourself to Stouffer's pizza.
Real cheese toppings, yes indeed. Just one hand is all you need.
Help yourself, help yourself, help yourself to Stouffer's pizza. Help yourself to Stouffer's.
The fan's blowing too hard.
Hey, don't be so impatient.
I know I shouldn't be, but my doctor says too much caffeine makes me tense.
You should drink Sanka Brand decaffeinated coffee.
I like real coffee.
Sanka Brand's 100% real coffee. Try it.
Delicious.
Jane, you did it again.
And I feel like myself again with Sanka Brand.
Sanka Brand. Enjoy your coffee and enjoy yourself.
I don't want to do this.
You'll be great.
I'll be scared.
Just think how glad you'll be when you're all done and maybe we'll all go to McDonald's.
I'll be glad when I'm done. I'll be glad when I'm done. I'll be... Think McDonald's. Oh, I wish I were already there instead of here playing this song. Oh, I would have a big chocolate shake, a cheeseburger, and also, whoops, and also fries. And I would eat... I fries myself and not give any to my dumb brother. Hands off and mine off mine. Oh boy, my recital is almost done. It wasn't bad, I'm still alive. And now I can have my chocolate shake, my cheeseburger, and also whoops and also fries.
My charm and my charisma.
Oh, stop!
Yes, we're going to talk about Big Brother now because we need to talk about the guy named Devin. What's
I
funny?
I get so confused because I'm not watching the live feeds. I just finished watching every episode that I've missed the past two. But there's Devin. He's the guy with the huge mouth.
He's the guy who looks like The Rock with a huge mouth.
Okay. And there's Derek.
Derek, he's the guy who's a cop in real life.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Now I'm settled.
Okay. Right. Well, you know, what's funny in Big Brother, when they start to, people were like, let's do an alliance. Let's form an alliance. And what's funny is the guys are all there like, okay, us four, we should do an all dudes alliance. And we'll add this guy and this guy. And all of a sudden there's six people, right? And then, like, this guy, Devin, they think, you know, they don't know each other very well. No. But the best thing about Big Brother is when people are like, we should be an alliance. And the guy's like, yeah, yeah. So they form an alliance. And then the guy starts talking a lot. And they're like, this guy's insane. Like, maybe we shouldn't have asked him to be our alliance. Because just listen to how it's formed. I love the way they form it, Bill. And then all of a sudden, he goes up to two girls in the house and he's like, hey, I need to talk to you guys. I shouldn't be telling you this, but there's an all guys alliance. And they're like, okay. And I want you girls to be in the alliance too. And he's like, I probably should have told my alliance members about this, but nah, it's okay. And then he wakes up the HOH guy, Caleb, in the middle of the night and he goes, hey, we got two more members of our alliance, two chicks, two of the girls in the house. He's like, what? It's just funny how he breaks everything to people. Let's play that part.
So me and Frankie decide we got to rally up a couple soldiers that want to work with us. And Devin and Derek just look like they fit right in.
We're just thinking a strategy, you know, thinking gameplay because it's so twisted right now.
Everybody's mistake, they underestimate the floaters.
I'm going to tell you right now, the last thing I want to do is get up on the block with...
That's the first reference to floaters we've heard this season.
Yeah,
the thing I want to say about
floaters.
The girls, I love them all, but they get very emotional.
It's like the
they play with their hearts.
In the house to bring it up floaters.
Basically right now what we're talking about is possibly forming an all-guys alliance.
I'm in this with you guys to the end, and I can make that like commitment now. I know that Derek is.
Yep.
It's too early for an alliance, and we're not even that close as a group. I mean, we haven't even had that many conversations. So to trust somebody with your life in this game is ludicrous.
I'm going to tell you, like, there's a guys alliance. It's six. It's Caleb, me, Frank, Derek, Cody, Zach.
So he immediately just tells somebody.
Devin pulls me in this room and tells me there's a guys alliance in the house. He's like, I think I can trust you. And I was like, why do you think you can trust me?
I know it's late, dude. But like, like serious talk. Because everyone's sleeping. I want to get it out now. We need to bring two girls into the alliance.
They don't know anything about us as being having an alliance.
They know, bro. Like, they know.
I get woke up in the dadgum morning. I got boogers in my eyes. My vision's blurry. I got my boy Devin. He bust out to me that, hey, we got two new members of the bomb squad. I had no idea if I was in a dream or if this was real life situation. I have no choice but to, let Christine and Amber into my alliance.
Does everybody know?
Yeah. What now? What are we talking about?
There's eight of us now.
Who's the... Oh, I didn't know that.
So Christine and Amber are both full full-blown Bomb Squad members. So there's eight of
us. Wait, what? Wait, they're like in, like, yeah. You told them about it?
We're all together.
Devin's just completely lost it. The guy's going AWOL and bringing in half of a house into the Bomb Squad. This whole Bomb Squad is going to pretty much blow up in our face.
It's never been done before.
So as if I don't have enough stress, knowing that I can be dethroned, I have to worry about Devin bringing extra members into the Bomb Squad and telling them everything.
What?
You gotta let other guys know if you're doing that.
No, all right.
You know what I'm saying? Just a head up.
Yeah, no. Everyone needs to stay cool and calm. It's one of these things, it's like we're gonna
stay
ride
cool
or die.
And calm.
Devin is really acting like a loose cannon right now. He's putting a large target on his back, and it's really making me reconsidering working with him in the future.
So he's nuts. He doesn't know anything about an alliance and how to keep it secret. But here's the other funny part. Donnie Bill is the guy with the long beard.
Yeah, he's the illegitimate brother of Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, he's a very kind-hearted guy who seems very simple. I think he's smarter than he lets on. But there's this moment where Devin, who's extremely paranoid apparently, he's sitting in the room and Donnie, he's in there telling these horrible jokes. He tells a funny joke here. And one girl goes, "Are you sure you're not a stand-up comedian?" He goes, "I'm pretty sure I'm not a stand-up comedian." And Devin's like, "Wait a second." Jeez. He's like, "I think he's lying." He says he does mows lawns at elementary schools or whatever.
He's a poet laureate.
He's a groundskeeper, right? So he goes upstairs.
Groundskeeper Willie.
He goes, "Guys, I need to talk to you guys. All the Bomb Squad guys. I need to talk to you guys. This is serious. I'm getting a weird feeling about Donnie. He's down there holding court like a court jester. They're all eating out of the palm of his hands. We need to be wary of this guy." And they're like, "Why?" And they're like, "I think you're being a little paranoid." And he's like, "Oh, God. This is what they do every season. They let somebody just skate by because he's not threatening. Just you wait and see." And then one day Donnie's in there and they notice, like, "Dude, you don't have any hair on your legs. It's like all worn off." And he goes, "That's because I wear tall drink of water socks. Now I'm wearing footies, but I wear tall drink of water." And he gets up and he leaves the room and they go, Caleb, he goes, "He's ex-military." And he's like, boom. And he's like, "Why do you think that?" "Because I suspected it." And he goes, "Combat boots wore all the hair off his leg. Man, I'm not stupid." And all of a sudden they're like, "He could be a Navy SEAL. He could be some Ranger or something." And it's like
work boots. Everyone.
The best part, Bill, is when they're like, "He could be a Navy SEAL." They sit him. They cut to Donnie. He's just sitting there in his big old gut hanging out. You know? And they're like, "He could be like some kind of trained killer." And they just show him. He's
best
just
friends
like,
with Michael Biehn, Charlie Sheen.
He's just staring up at the sky. You know, he's got nothing going on. It's just funny how they make themselves so paranoid.
They're really all just stupid as stupid can be.
Yeah, I got to play this clip for you and just hear how they piece things together. Just they're not going
to. Goddamn Sherlocks.
They're not going to solve anything. Oh, and the part where they do the word, you know, they have to form a word.
Yeah.
Who can form the biggest word? And as they're revealing each word, "Well, I formed this, but I couldn't find the right letters." The one girl's like, "No wonder they needed women in their in their alliance, because these guys are dumb.
Dumb-dums."
My favorite is the girl. She goes, "I tried to spell calculator, but I couldn't find a C. And it says Cal-Toro or something."
Cal-Toro.
It's like, you needed more than just a C. Let's check this out. And Donnie, who they all... He, like, came out, he spelled, like, I forgot what he spelled, but it was hilarious.
Splitters.
Splitters. I spelled splitters.
What's a splitters?
Splitters is, like, maybe that's what he calls, like, pliers or something. I don't know, but, when
or
they did the
team of very, agile people.
Did you see the thing where they did the swing where they catch wine back and forth?
Yeah.
Okay. Donnie and Paolo or Pow Pow.
I don't know how she gets that from it.
They lost that competition. But afterwards, they're like, check out Donnie. Did you see how well he was swinging there? Dude, he's a lot stronger than he looks. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Major League Baseball player.
Let's check this out.
There was this prostitute that she never done her trade for money. She only done it for spaghetti, so they started calling her a prostitute.
Oh, my God.
Donnie, you're really mean.
I'm not. I'm really a groundskeeper.
Donnie's a funny guy, but you know what? It won't be really funny when he's stealing 500 grand from the bomb squad.
Donnie is scaring me. Right now, he's down there in the room with Caleb, Jocasta, Amber, Joey, and Hayden. And he's holding court like a jester. Amber goes, "You're really a comedian?" And he goes, "No, I'm a grounds crew."
He's got excellent delivery.
How many times do you gotta sit there? I don't, like, oh man. And I don't believe his story.
So, Devin, first you decide to bring in two other members to the Alliance without speaking to anyone else in the Alliance, and now you're having a meltdown over the fact that you think this bearded duck hunter is actually James Bond. I mean, why did I decide to work with you? Like, you're a mess.
I think you're being a little too paranoid about Donnie.
I don't see him with the ability to rally the support.
Oh, my God.
To make a power move.
No. No.
What no?
This is the same mistake everyone always makes. They should let the weak guy just chill.
But you think he's stronger than Paolo?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that he threw the comp, and I think he's playing, like, dumb, and I think that he is actually stronger than what he is. You're like, oh, you're a little paranoid about Donnie, but the moment you're not paranoid about somebody is the moment you let him slip right by you.
Devin's behavior is extremely detrimental to the bomb squad. He's having paranoid delusions. Having Devin in your alliance is no bueno.
You just gotta make sure that Donnie doesn't win the POV.
I know that I have a huge influence on a lot of people in this house with my charm and my charisma. I think I'm the perfect guy to hold this group
charm
together.
Charm and charisma.
We stick together,
really has no
we're good
idea.
To go.
Bye, Donnie.
Bye. I'm coming too.
Okay,
listen, Nate.
He's ex-military.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah, I knew it from the moment he pulled his socks up. Army
and
boots.
And Amber's in
his,
love.
Rubbed his hair raw. He's stupid.
Right now, me and Devin have a suspicion that Donnie's just not telling us all the truth.
He's
people
a
that are from the South, it's like America. You don't wear fatigues unless you serve.
Yeah, he's
that
Delta
is
Force.
Unbelievable.
I have
now he's camouflage.
Donnie.
He's a secret super soldier
all the time.
So what's next, Devin? Is he Justin Bieber in a beard? Is it Lady Gaga's new character persona? Is he Ariana Grande's brother? Is that what you think?
Based on that, he's got to go.
Yeah.
I'm thinking old Donnie boy is like an XSF, like, killing machine.
You're like 007, aren't you?
Donnie could be a Navy SEAL. He's definitely
double
right O tractor.
I think we're on to something.
I'm telling you now, he's prior military. I already know for a fact.
So there's something about old Donnie boy that I don't think a lot of people know. And I think the bomb squad's about to lock in on its first target. And that target is Donnie.
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
We're calling in an airstrike.
Unfortunately, Donnie won the POV, so they had to go with Joey, the blue-haired girl.
Who is equally stupid.
You know what's funny? She went into the bathroom. She's like, "Girls, we need to have an all-girls alliance. What do you guys say?" And they're like, just staring at her. "You guys want an all-girls alliance?" And they're just like, And so she's like, "Okay." And she just walks out. Okay, that failed. And they're like, "Man, Joey, she's trying to put together an all-girls alliance. Let's get rid of her. All right, let's get rid of her." And that was like the reason she went home.
Yeah, she's gone.
Yeah, it's just, they just need to find a reason to want you out. And for some reason, Devin, he decided, you know, he wanted Donnie out. Even though he was in him and Donnie formed an alliance.
He's afraid of Southern white people.
I guess so. But you know what I just read on Hamster Watch? Basically, when it was the week, when they were going to evict Joey out, he went around saying, We need a unanimous eviction. Everyone votes for Joey. I don't want any sympathy votes. I want it to be unanimous. And they're like, why? He goes, because we've got to make a statement with this. And they're like, what?
Week one statement, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So they're like, well, and poor Joey, she went up to everyone. She's like, can I get your vote? And they're like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't go against the house because people will get mad at me. And she's like, okay. And she's getting so frustrated because nobody has any balls to do anything. They don't want to upset anybody. So apparently, Bill, what happened is, he became HOH, or at least one of the HOHs along with Amber. And Caleb is in love with Amber.
Oh my God.
He's obsessed with her, and all he does is talk about her, but she has no interest in him at all.
That was so painful to watch those clips. Have you seen my girl yet?
Yeah, and the fact that they played it up on the show, and the show didn't play up the creepy factor at all. They tried to make it sweet, didn't they? Like, oh, he's got a crush on her. No, he's a weird stalker.
He's a stalker, because the moment he's like, I see the way you look at me.
And she's like, how do I look at you?
In confusion, and she couldn't get out of that room fast enough. And then the fact that he's like, I think maybe she really likes me.
Yeah, and
she's clueless and stupid.
They even said in one of the when you win HOH, it's two HOHs win, then they compete, and whoever the nominations compete, whoever wins, one HOH is named. It's so complicated, but she got a blankie as her HOH gift, and Caleb was walking around with it and like smelling it and covering himself up with it and stuff. It's kind of creepy. And I don't know exactly what's going on, but they had a big, bomb squad blow up, and Devin and Caleb were fighting because Devin wanted the nominations to go exactly a certain way. And he went to his nominations and he said, I want you guys to throw it. Don't even compete for it. This is who I want up on the block, and it's got to be that way. So when things went wrong and people were talking about, well, we don't really want to get rid of Brittany. She's really no threat at all. I don't understand. He goes, she's a snake in the grass. She can pull things. And they're like, what is he talking about?
She can pull weeds?
Yeah. So they started like talking like, I don't even think Devin knows what he's doing. He got so mad. He goes, the bomb squad is over. And he, like, said it loud enough for everyone to hear, like, even though it's supposed to be a secret. The guy's a moron.
I mean, yes, he's entertaining, but I just get irritated watching him because he's
so stupid. With my charm and my charisma.
And he is the epitome of a meathead.
Yeah, charm and charisma. And basically, what I've read is that he was going to be a pro ball player, but he had drug problems and he ruined his career.
I think he ruined his brain.
Like roids?
I don't know. I think it's worse than roids. I think it was probably like coke or something.
Oh, wow. I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
He probably, snorts and then rubs it on his big teeth.
He's very... He's very charming, Bill, and he has lots of charisma.
With and lots of cocaine. My charisma.
My charm and my charisma.
Let me take a bump of that.
All right, so that's Big Brother. I've been watching the actual show. I haven't been watching the feeds. Some of Big Brother After Dark, but a lot of that is them just sitting around not doing anything.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem with the feeds is I'm not invested in these people. They're not fun. So I haven't been watching it. I thought it was really kind of tragic that Joey pulled the evil dick card and started like doing the like character being mean to everyone. And
yeah, she tried to be her alter ego, Alex, which is a man.
And it's too early. No one knows her, so they didn't know she was joking. So they just all got uncomfortable.
Yeah, they're like, what the hell is she doing?
I got boogers in my eyes.
Yeah, it's really difficult for me to enjoy it this season as much as just kind of stare at, like, wow, this is a train wreck.
I'm not rooting for anyone right now, but I do know that Devin guy seriously gets on my nerves. That's all I know.
I think every one of the guys get on my nerves.
Yeah, they're like, dude, We're gonna, the one guy that I don't mind is the cop dude, because he seems smart. Like when they're like, hey, we want you to be in our alliance. He's like,
yeah.
Okay. And he's like, wow, it's too early to be in an alliance. What are these guys thinking? You know,
he's smart and he's under the radar.
Because once someone asks you to be in an alliance, you can't go, no, because they're like, oh, why not? Are you in an alliance? You're screwed. You have to go, yeah, okay, I'll be in it. And then just walk out of the room and go, those guys are idiots, you know?
And I know this is a terrible thing to say, but I find that Christine wholly irritating.
What?
Like, there's just something about her speech impediment kind of thing. Like, she talks like she has marbles in her mouth.
Which girl is this?
The one with the big obnoxious glasses, the kind of hipstery one.
Are you talking the one with tattoos or without tattoos?
Oh, Jesus. I think she does have tattoos. Okay. Yeah, not the short blonde girl.
I love the way the short blonde girl talks. I love her voice.
It's a mishmash. She speaks in a different accent every time I see her.
Yeah, she's really funny. I like her voice. She's funny. And
yeah, but the other Christine, the one that kind of talks,
morning.
She just sounds like she has something in her mouth that she needs to spit out.
I'm stupid.
And I know, it's a terrible thing to say. But I'm a terrible person, I guess.
I like when Caleb says, I ain't stupid. I know he's in the military. And he's like, no, you are stupid.
Yeah, and I thought it was hilarious that these people lack so much empathy and understanding of another individual that they don't understand that Donnie appreciates being cared for. Mm-hmm. Because I think he spent his whole life caring for his parents, mm-hmm. sacrificing himself.
He's not used to having any friends and people younger than him knowing his name and stuff.
So they're all like, oh, he's being a manipulator with his crying.
Oh, that's what Devin said. He was like, just know, you can let everyone know, the reason I'm crying isn't because I'm sad. It's because I'm happy. I have friends like these. So if you want to tell everyone that, and Devin's like, I'm not going to tell people that. I know he's manipulating me.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want anybody to think I actually have a heart.
No!
Yeah.
It's really uncomfortable.
Charm
and my charisma, Bill.
And this whole, like, the two HOHs is such a mistake. It's so convoluted.
You can't come up with a strategy.
No,
I figured out. There's nothing you can do.
They've thrown it all off.
Except Devin figured out if I bully them into not competing, like the people I nominate, don't even try. Throw it.
Devin honestly reminds me of the characters from the film Pain and Gain, the awful Michael Bay film. Like, he just figures, like, it's all about him, and he'll just bully someone, and it's like, that person has something that I deserve, so I'm going to take it. It's just, it's so confusing, and they're just, it's dumbfounding.
With my charm and my charisma.
Yes, he's very charming. Now, Bill, I want to talk about 24.
All right.
Because Jack needs to interrogate Benjamin Bratt. He caught him. My favorite part of the episode is when Jack is chasing Benjamin Bratt down the street. And there's a soldier standing there talking to somebody. He's got a machine gun, and he runs up and conks him on the head, grabs his machine gun, and, like, opens fire. How sweet was that?
That was pretty good. I like whenever
he just unloads behind. Jack jumps behind some kegs of beer or something, nice. And there's beer squirting everywhere.
I like when Jack is chasing after him, and the guy's like, I'm not supposed to let anybody out. And Jack just pistol whips him.
And whenever Jack was shooting at him, I was like, dude, his pistol sounds awesome in the sound mix. It was like, dude, it sounds awesome.
Sounds great. I'd never fire one.
They were just shooting all over London.
So, panic on the streets of London.
But I love this. Okay, Jack goes in there. And he's going to question Benjamin Bratt because they are hoping he knows something about the device and he could tell them something. This is an awesome example of Jack Bauer whisper talking. So
yes.
Let's check out when he starts out talking, the other people talk normal volume, but he talks in this whisper talk.
Well, so it's the gravitas.
Let's check this out.
I'm getting authorization to have him sent down to special activities for enhanced interrogation.
That's not going
to
work. Navarro was in covert ops. He's been trained to resist those exact same techniques.
What are you saying?
What do you suggest?
Let me talk to him.
Bauer.
He views you.
How are you going to talk to him? I can't even hear you.
He will not be afraid of you. But he knows my history.
He's got excellent hearing.
Okay. Okay, you can talk to him as soon as he set up an interrogation. But if you cross the line, I'm pulling you.
Just so, by the way, none of you know my name.
I wasn't asking. That was me being courteous.
Jack is,
you know the drill I'm going to lay it out for you anyways. The CIA knows you have.
Oh, I love this scene, by the way, because Jack grabs his hand, takes the butt of his pistol, and smashes his fingers. It's
Why's
awesome.
Why's your last name Brat? Are you a hot dog?
You've been selling secrets to the Chinese and had Agent Morgan's husband framed for it, who was also a federal agent.
Man, I love
I'm
Agent
an eyewitness
Morgan.
To you stealing the override device and handing it over to Adrian Cross, knowing its full potential as a weapon of mass destruction. There is only one outcome here, and that is the death penalty. Unless, of course, you cooperate, help us find it, then I'm pretty sure I can get them to take that off the table.
The truth is, I never knew I was dealing with Adrian Cross. He kept all of our interactions anonymous. But I do know how you can find him and the override if you move quickly. In return, I want full immunity. Signed by the president, period. No negotiations, end of discussion.
Nobody here is going to give him immunity, right?
And before you bother to object, remember, we are talking about a weapon
of mass destruction. Aren't we, Jack?
I'm going to ask you one last time nicely.
Whoa.
Where's the override device?
He's asking so nicely.
Come on now. You and I both know they're not going to let you hurt
Where's
me.
Where's the override device?
Agent Ritter is acting head of station.
There's no way he's going to let you screw up his career. Let's face it, Jack.
Anything you say or do between now and me getting that immunity is just a waste of time.
Well, I can assure you, full immunity is not on the table. But your hand is.
Jesus! But your hand is.
Did you like that? Why did they care? Why did that dude care so much about his hand?
You're not
going
to get away with this. Not after what you did to us.
He's a slow hand.
Put a guard on him. Take him down to the medical. Yes. No one near him.
You cannot make a deal with this man.
No! Listen to me, Kate. Listen to me. If Navarro really does know how to find the override device, then I have to make the case for immunity in return for information that might lead to recovery of the device. The rest is up to the president.
What is your name?
I like when he says, immunity. I can assure you, immunity is not on the table, but your hand is on the table. What? Smash, smash, smash. And he's like, oh, that was awesome. Him smashing.
That achieved so little, yet was so awesome.
His fingers, was it all of them just broken? His hand was just like all crumbled.
It was mishmashed. It was like the guy's head in the elevator in Driver.
It's just powdered bone.
Yeah, it was just gone. Just totally. It was flip-floppy nastiness.
Well, then I love, he goes to the medic, the infirmary, and then Kate's like, I'm not done. And she goes in there and puts a gun to his head and then pistol whips him. And then Jack has to go in there and hold a gun to her. And he's like, put down the gun! And everybody's yelling, and finally he confesses that he put a tracking device on it.
And Mr. Pink grabs the briefcase and runs out the door.
Get your hands up right now.
Kate, what are you doing?
You shut up. Get your hands up. Turn around right now.
Shut your mouth.
Get against the wall now. On your knees. You two. On your knees.
Kate, you don't have to do this.
You framed my husband.
Ouch.
He's dead because of you.
Just think about what you're doing. You've got a long career ahead of you.
Do you understand that when Adam was arrested, I blamed myself for not knowing he was a spy, and all the while you stood by me pretending to be my friend?
Kate, if you kill me, the CIA will never get their hands on that device.
I don't give a damn about that.
Easy.
This is personal now.
Get her off.
Kate, sausage man.
This has got nothing to do
we
with
We need
you.
Him alive to know what he knows.
He doesn't know anything. He's playing us.
That's not true. Bauer, Agent Morgan, put it down.
I have no idea where the device is. He's lying. Just
no, I'm
lying
not.
About everything
no,
else.
I put a tracker on the device. I can tell you where it is.
You're a lying bastard.
Put the weapon down and let him talk. I can give you the tracker's code.
I don't believe you. I'm going to pull it in your head.
Kate, put the weapon down. 8469 Romeo. 3 Alpha 469 Romeo. That's the code. I'm telling you the truth.
Did you get that?
This is how I'm going to put a bullet in his head.
Running the trace now. Seems to be legit.
It's already triangulating within a 4-mile area.
Copy that. He's locking under the override device.
I so bad wanted to shoot him in the head after that.
Looks like we got all we need.
You're going to be executed for murder and for treason. And I'm going to be there to watch.
I want him to go, why does everyone hate me so much?
I'm sorry it didn't work out with me and Julia Roberts.
Oh, poor guy. Poor Benjamin Bratt. And then poor Michael Wincott. Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
He's not the real bad guy. He plays it cool the whole time. But when he gets to his den of hackers, they're all gutted and dead. And it turns out the evil Chinese that once tortured Jack for an entire off season of the show, they're to blame. So
he just wanted to, you know, help society and play, you know, both sides against the other. He's not a bad guy. He's just, you know, he's just incompetent.
Oh, geez.
Now he has a slug in his head.
Now let's talk about Defiance. Dun, 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 dun. You know what I didn't realize before? No, it's obvious that Shtako is shit, right?
Right.
But now I didn't realize, did you know Chup was a bad word?
No.
On the
I
show?
Thought that was just a guy's name.
Because
old Chup.
She, last week the chick talked to Nolan about chupping whores, and then she said this week.
What the chup?
So we know what Chup
Chow is.
Chop Chowa, Bill.
Dare you.
Screamy dump pot. Slamo.
Screamy dump pot, Slamo.
Yeah, exactly.
Little
that's
profane prick.
So there's this, basically at the beginning of the episode, we find out that Alak's wife is now pregnant.
Yes.
And Graham Greene's character, who I can't remember his name. Oh, what is it? Macaulay? Yeah, Macaulay.
I think so.
Rafe.
Running Bear.
Rafe Macaulay. He tells him that, you know, I know your family is into being gangsters and criminals. None of that shit's going to fly now that you have a kid. So I just want you to know to get your shit together. So
knock those creepy baths off.
Yeah. So he's like he's kind of like conflicted because he just got done killing someone for the first time on behalf of his mother. So he goes to talk to his dad about it. And I'm hoping Daytac will be understanding about all this.
Of course he will.
Let's check this out. He should be understanding. By the way, that prison is really gross. How they just kind of like are just all dirty and they just sit out in the open and then they dump food in the mud and stuff. Mm-hmm. What the hell? All right, let's check this out.
It's like prison.
Alak, I didn't know to expect you. I know that you're counting on me to step up and be the head of the family, and I've tried. I really have.
Alak, what is this about?
Dad, everything's changed. Christy's pregnant.
Well, that is good news.
You're going to be a grandmother, Dita.
It's got me thinking where exactly my place is in all of this. You know, like, what's the best thing to do for Christy and the baby?
I think the best thing to do is pot on DJ.
I've done things. Things I'm not proud of. And I don't want to end up like your father. I didn't say
that.
Look, my record business is doing really well. I just want your blessing to take a step out of the question. There must be a tower at the head of the table. Profits are up. Way up. Under Riaga and Guillermo. Yeah.
Del Toro.
She totally handled it without me.
No doubt. No doubt. One thing troubles me. Riga and Guillermo are good workers, but they lack the brains, the leadership, the jungera to raise profits. Not without guidance. If they're not getting it from you, then who's the one whispering in their ears? Hmm? Your mother, perhaps?
No, you're just...
Vile Janalua Lako.
I'm sorry, say again?
Dad. This is a different world. Tell me something. My men, they willingly follow our commands. Like I said, profits are up. They're getting used to it.
Of course they're getting used to it. They're spineless dogs, loyal only to their last meal. It all makes sense now. Your mother has been dragging her feet. pretending to talk to the Botanist Collector, pretending to politic with the mayor. She's got a taste of power, and the Inyasha likes it.
She's doing it to protect the family.
Jenna's out of Bina Yenda. Jenna's out of Huja Yenda. Jenna Mimi's out of Kira Jay.
Why is that a Jedi Lamiore
Halutina Hinzila Jay? Bruno Olivis was a
Pera. You dare blame mom for this? You're here because you couldn't control the one thing you needed to control. Yourself. You're a miserable bastard.
I hope you rot in this cage.
Don't write checks your ass can't cash, kid.
Yeah, your dad could be out of jail very soon.
Yes, very soon.
By the way, you know, you guys know I love Arissa, but I don't understand anything that's going on in this
story. I told you, I hate this storyline.
I don't understand it.
I don't understand it. Kitty, god damn it. I don't understand it either.
What happened with the kitty?
She jumps up on the keyboard and knocks my wireless mouse off and my cup and everything else.
Well, okay, what happened? Arissa, I thought she killed Birdie. The yes. alien that everyone knows that I swear has not been introduced until this episode.
Who the hell is Birdie, and why does everyone care about Birdie?
She has been around before.
Yeah.
Okay, I just forgot about her.
She was in the first season. She was the housekeeper.
Okay.
She's so memorable.
I think it's creepy how she looks like a man but has a woman's like really nice voice.
She's got those short legs, and she walks like
she's got facial hair. She's got facial hair, too, which is funny, like a mustache.
Yeah.
She's a Sensoth, whatever those are. I thought she was killed, and then, whatever is in Arissa said that I'm protecting them, which I didn't understand. And then she goes to kill the guy who's already dead, right? Who calls her, Little Wolf.
Yes.
But you can't kill him, right? Because his body is filled with nanites that just keep bringing him back to life, I guess.
No idea.
I thought that was over with.
I don't know, but then she goes in the woods and shoots herself in the head, and she doesn't die, and she's slowly healing back up.
Yeah.
And the girl says, I will sit with you here till you're whatever. So then it cuts to the morning, and she's okay. Healed. She's healed. But then the lady...
Birdie
is okay. And then they show this
other...
But she
doesn't know why she's there?
Yeah, she doesn't remember.
How she got there.
She was walking home and she woke up in the woods and didn't know why she was there. Okay, then at the end, they also show this woman jump on this kid and start sucking his soul out too, or whatever that thing is.
Putting something in.
Does that mean that she does the same thing as Arissa, or Arissa doesn't do it anymore? I don't know.
I'm so confused by the whole thing. I just want it to be over with.
It was like some sort of a, essentially a computer virus or whatever.
Well,
but
also she had a vision that she was on a ship talking to some other Irathiant.
Yeah.
I didn't understand any of that either.
Yeah, and that was like they were going to invade Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not.
But they're like far away. I guess maybe like a scout ship came.
Am I not supposed to understand it?
Probably not.
Was she envisioning herself there? Was that really Arissa or her? She just put her face
maybe.
In this. I'm so confused. I don't understand.
Yeah, because she came as a child. And when why is Nolan all up in her ass like about, hey, you killed someone? It's just.
He's like, you got blood on your gloves. You obviously. He thought she killed Birdie. And she did.
I don't know.
Well, you know that she died.
All I know is I want a little packet of Adreno. You guys want to try it?
Yeah, I want some Adreno and the disc jockey lady.
No.
Yeah, I like that. What if she's all over, like, Alack? She's like, your dad used to rough me up. Be rough with me. I'm like, I'd be like, you're fired. Get out of
lady,
here.
Lady, you're crazy. Here's some Adreno at your
bitch,
severance
you'd
pack.
Be crazy. One thing I love about Alack, though, is he's
into vinyl.
Yeah.
He's honorable and into vinyl.
And he doesn't want to be like his dad. Nothing like Daytac.
Who the hell wants to be like Daytac?
I did like when his mom was going to give him that casty blade. I love those glowing letter opener things. She's like, here, take it. And he's just like, he just got done gutting somebody. He doesn't want one of those, but man, I want one of those,
Bill. He just threw one away.
Yeah. I want to loot one in Defiance.
See, I think it would be cool is like on your cell phone, if one of the apps could be a like a casty blade casty pop blade. Out of it. Wouldn't that be sweet? Your cell
That'd
phone
be awesome.
Can become like
I can make a phone call and kill you.
I just remember that one episode last season where hell bugs were attacking Daytac and he extended it out like it was a sword. All of a sudden he had a lightsaber.
Yeah, it's a double length blade.
And they were like, this is a casty weapon, but I'm sorry. I'm a human dude. I'd be like, I want to buy one of those.
That is awesome.
I would totally carry one.
I would just carry it around to, like, cut wood, slice bread.
Yeah, you could make sandwiches.
It probably makes toast at the same time you cut the bread. It's toasting it.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Don't tell me that.
What the crap?
If you take, like, a really cold stick of butter out, you can, like, slice right through it and put it on the bread. And
Can you imagine spreading the
I bet that you could make, like, a really quick grilled cheese with it.
Just think, just those blades in a restaurant. You were a chef or something.
Ooh, you could do like tableside grilled cheese with a casty blade. Have everybody
It's
roll. It's a la carte.
Bill, what do you say we do some news?
Let's do some news.
Let's do the news! Whee!
Ziggy Piggy, Ziggy Piggy, Ziggy Piggy.
No bueno.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, so yesterday was Independence Day.
Ah, yes.
There was an article online about the 8 things that the Brits love that we gave them.
Oh, boy!
Words of my generation, up yours.
Great dialogue in that movie.
Yeah, so we'll run down the list here. Number 1, they love marshmallow fluff. Yeah.
Who does?
The Brits.
Brits. Apparently, I mean this is subjective, I assume. More versatile than potato waffles, you can spread this on anything. Just wind up healthy eaters. I like to put mine on Revita, whatever that is. However, it's easier to bypass all this, grab a spoon and start munching. I don't know anyone in America that actually eats marshmallow fluff.
Yip-yappin' British.
I mean, I know is it a fluffer nutter? Like a marshmallow fluff and peanut butter sandwich?
Uh-huh.
But that, like, even saying that makes my teeth hurt. Like, I don't think I could take it. Number 2 is Cards Against Humanity, the must-have game for any party. It is quite enjoyable.
Oh, I've never even heard of it.
Oh, yeah. You get cards, and then you have to... It's almost like Mad Lib for adults and with cards. So it's a really fun game. Mountain Dew, which... apparently people still drink.
Oh, the humanity.
Even when I was a kid, I didn't like Mountain Dew. I like Cherokee Red.
Have you ever liked Mountain Dew? I've never drank it. There's something about the word dew I just didn't want to try.
Yeah, dew and it looks like pee and it's just, I don't like Mountain Dew at all.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Spider monkey. box sets of amazing TV. So
nice.
The Brits love American television, and Americans love Brit television.
Who doesn't love television? I love TV, Steven.
Yep.
TV respects me.
It does. Oreos. You know, they have biscuits, and we ship our cookies over there. I wonder if they call them biscuits.
Do they call Oreos biscuits, or are they...
Yeah.
Do they even say the word cookie?
No. No, I don't think so. That's a question for one of our UK listeners. Do you call Oreos biscuits?
Here they are right here. Boom. Out the ass.
Boom. Biscuits. Out the ass.
You want some cookies? What is what?
What is
what? Is what?
Wait, what is he saying?
Cena sara panna yanda. Cena sara huja yanda. Cena mi ami sara kera jay. Sara jeda la nino re halu cena hinzi la jay.
Exactly. How does he memorize that stuff?
I think he just makes it up.
I hope Defiance becomes popular enough where they will release a Castathon book.
Dictionary?
Dictionary, like learn the language, and we can use profanity from the show.
I like their profanity. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm going to start saying...
What the chop?
So they love the Luther Burger. It's only recently found its way across the pond, but Luther Burger is like a normal bacon cheeseburger, but with instead of a bun, a grilled Krispy Kreme donut is used.
It's a delicious gourmet burger.
Never had one. Don't want it.
It sounds like it's not necessary.
Yes. Yeah. I like savory and sweet, but that's just, like, gross to me. Party cups. Solo party cups.
Party cups.
Yeah, the red party cup. And number 8, American cheese. If pre-sliced cheese isn't lazy enough for you, then Americans will also cram it into an easy-to-use squeeze bottle. Yummy.
Complete cheesemonger.
I know Heather and Emma love cheese, but they love eating slices of cheese like it's a meal. Like it's just a snack.
I find myself doing that now because of
the cheese.
I need, like, that's a good protein source, and I'll grab like 3 slices of cheese, a couple crackers, and just go at it.
Yeah, cheese and crackers. Heather
loves? She loves buying white cheddar cheese.
White cheddar.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, you know what's really interesting?
I don't know if it even tastes different.
I don't know. It might be a little more zingy. No! There's a cheese that Land O'Lakes makes. It's an American cheese, but they call it Italian. It's like a 3 cheese, and it's American cheese and like Parmesan cheese and another, and it's like really, really tangy. It's almost like it makes your face like pucker.
And that's not cheesy.
It's cheesy. All right, here we go. Huntington Beach. I'm sorry. Am I supposed to help you with something? Did you want to do this story? Yes? All right. Okay, you can calm yourself down. Thanks. He just had to pipe up. Oh, you little shit. Huntington Beach. An infant believed to have been abducted by her grandmother was reunited with her parents early Tuesday morning thanks to the actions of an observant store clerk who spotted the pair at an Arizona gas station. Carolyn Ferguson, 57, was facing kidnapping charges and awaiting extradition to California on Thursday afternoon while her granddaughter, 6-month-old Leilani Mosley, was returned to her parents about 4 a.m. The clerk saw the infant in an oversized diaper being fed a cappuccino and felt something was not right.
All right, you going to be a baby?
I just love that. Like, I didn't know babies like cappuccino. I don't think that's right.
Something's amiss here.
That diaper seems a little too large.
It's ludicrous.
No! Ludicrous? The guy from the movies? I love that guy.
Hell yeah, I love Ludicrous.
It's delicious. Sheriff in Oconee County, Georgia, arrested a man Wednesday afternoon after he claimed his dog drove him to the store. Webster, I think this story's about you, buddy. You need to stop driving that car. Oconee County Sheriff Sergeant Partain says he's responded to a call about a dog locked in a car at Dell's Food Store. The outside temperature registering 99 degrees, internal temperature... Will you blow it out your ass? And the internal temperature... Excuse me! I'm trying to read this story! Will you just let me read the story? Please. All right. The outside temperature, blah, 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 blah. Partain said... Oh, you son of a bitch! Okay. I'm sorry. He's a little ornery tonight. The driver
of
the car.
Hey.
You got Shut me all now. Discombobulated, dog. I don't even know where I am in this story.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. Can you just please sit down and leave me alone for a little bit? All right. Whew. Okay. Partain said a can of gasoline in the vehicle reeked and described the smell as stifling. The driver of the car, Wesley Mark Terrell of Creekshore Drive, told Partain that his dog drove him to the Bells to buy some corn. According to the sheriff, Terrell appeared to be highly intoxicated. Well, that's why the dog was driving. You know, you don't want to drive drunk. The dog was just taking him and getting stuff done.
Yeah, the dog is the designated driver.
Yeah. Partain arrested Terrell and charged him with animal cruelty and DUI. Bastards. They don't understand. Animal control took custody of the dog, which is where you're going to go back to if you keep this shit up, Webster. Got me? All right. 12-foot python trapped by Florida City residents. Yikes. What happens whenever you go outside to start your grill? You know, lift the lid, turn it on, light it up. Well, residents trapped a 12-foot python inside their barbecue grill Thursday night and called authorities to have the snake taken away. That I would shit my pants. I am not a snake person. I just, even garden snakes when I see them freak me out.
Dude, so, I had a nightmare last night about a snake in the bed. There was a cobra in our bed, and it bit Heather on the neck.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I woke up like, oh, my God. And I was freaking out.
Did you check Heather's neck first?
I don't know if, like, baby's tail was around my foot, and I dreamt about a snake or what. But
that's awesome.
It freaked me out, man. I haven't had a nightmare in a while. It was weird.
Did you eat anything crazy before you went to bed?
I ate a bunch of lasagna and some chocolate cake and then went to bed.
Oh, that's what it was, lasagna.
It's the
deliverer of bad dreams.
And he's got the best pies in town.
It's all the damn layers. You have to go deeper.
Are there any Italians that get offended by that voice?
And he's got the best pies in town.
And I'm barely Italian. All right, this is pretty big. I thought it was interesting. 300 Rise of an Empire dethroned the Lego Movie for the number one spot on home video sales this week. Yeah, nice. Debuted at number one, which tracks over on the Nielsen Video Scan, which tracks overall DVD and Blu-ray disc combined sales.
Nice.
Yeah, how about that shit?
I got boogers in my eyes.
People just wanted to see Ava Green's boobs again. Hey, there's boobs in this. Let's buy it. All right.
I guess they don't have Cinemax.
I believe that's news for this week.
All right. That's it, Bill?
That's it. That's all I could really find.
Seriously?
Seriously.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
All right, let's do the DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs!
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
Eat the big ziggy, 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 zig.
All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week? Whee!
All right, DVDs for July 8th, 2014, starting off with Bad Grandpa 0.5 on Blu-ray.
You're a mess.
Oh, you know what happened? I just had a baby story real quick.
All right.
We were all at Emma's, Heather's parents, and we brought baby over there, and I was playing the tug of war with the dog with a rope.
Yeah.
And I did the thing you're not supposed to do when you do that. What is it?
Let it go.
Look away.
Oh.
Baby chomped
right on your hands.
My finger so effing hard.
Yeah.
Like one of her teeth dug in right at the tip of my finger.
Oof.
I said ow like so loud and I started dropping F bombs like left and right and just like, mother effing, boop, 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 boop. And I went into the bathroom and ran it under cold water. And Heather goes in there. She goes, what is wrong with you? There are children here. And I go, it effing hurt. I just, and like,
yeah, that happens.
It was throbbing like, boop, 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 like that.
Yeah, I don't play that often with Webster because he is very mouthy.
It's like this little tiny front teeth go chomp.
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say. Those little tiny front ones are pinchers.
Oh. Oh!
sounds like.
That's what it sounded like when she got my finger. And I was like, oh! And everyone like turned to look at me like I was insane.
He's lost it. Everyone leave quick.
It was pretty funny. Okay, Bill, sorry about that.
It's all right. I apologize for Webster.
It felt like Jack Bauer smashing my finger. What would
all right, moving on.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, no. Okay. We have bad... Wow. The bad word... bad words.
Bad
the,
Grandpa, which my dad endorsed. He said, it is the funniest movie. And I was like, okay,
has
dad.
An excellent score.
Yeah, great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack. So this is Bad Words from Jason Bateman. Yes, he directed this film.
It's so bad.
Spelling Bee Loser sets out to exact revenge by finding a loophole and attempting to win as an adult.
I remember seeing the trailer to this. It looked interesting, like he's screwing kids up at the spelling bee and he's kind of a jerk or something.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I'll check a rental.
Yeah.
Give it a chance.
Do it on, what do you call it, video on demand.
When it comes on the satellite, I'll watch it.
Stupid.
Asylum feels the need to capitalize on the Hercules film No One Asked For, directed by Brett Ratner.
Oh, wow. How bad is that going to be, you guys?
Oof. You know what? You don't even have to, like, go, oh, you know, maybe it won't be so bad. You know what? It's going to be
awful.
I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't have Kevin Sorbo. It just looks awful.
It doesn't have Kevin Sorbo. I'm out.
I giggle every time I see the trailer and there's like the big, like tusked thing smashing through the tree. And I'm just like, oy, oy, oy.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Next we have... And I am going to so butcher this name. I'm just going to warn you right now. Jodorowsky's Dune? Is it Jodorowsky?
Sure.
This is the Alejandro Jodorowsky, I don't know. But this is a documentary about how basically he had this film completely ready to go. I mean, he had everything. Script, storyboards, H.R. Geiger doing the set design. I mean, it was ready to go. And it never got made.
Why?
I don't know. We're going to have to watch the documentary.
I know, like, Stephen and I, back in the old days of Stephen and Jason friendship, I used to be like, Dune sucks. And Stephen, you'd be like, it's not that bad. And I'd be like, no, no, no. And so we'd fight over that.
You know what's funny is I was never a huge fan of Dune. And then I saw the TV version of it where there's this really cool intro with like art and explaining the whole world and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I kind of like this now. And I guess everyone hates that version. And I never understood why.
The TV?
Yeah.
Dune? Yeah, I've seen both. I've seen
pretty cool. I mean, what is it you like about the world and kind
of?
Yeah,
I like the worlds.
The spice? I've always meant to read the books.
Oh, I tried, and it's a pain.
Like tomes, aren't they? They're like huge, big.
Well, in the back of them, there's a dictionary for all the words he's created.
Got that nice spice to it.
What is it?
I'm out. Right. No way.
So what is the spice, though? I remember, is it like the drug they'll do or something?
The spice is life?
That's a Star Wars universe, isn't it, Bill? Spice.
Yeah, that it is. But
everybody needs to change their life. And that sugar, and that spice.
A spice trade or whatever.
Is it like they all make their food out of spice? What is it?
They love coriander there.
It's ludicrous.
But it all, it changes their, the people who mine it changes their eyes to the blue.
I remember giant worms, right?
Yes, yeah, there's big worms.
And they use the thumpers to attract them.
They're tremors. Why do they attract the worms?
Worms.
That's, well, I guess in the end, that shows them they ride them to,
They ride worm. Dude, what kind of drugs is that dude Frank Herbert doing?
Ride the worm?
Ride the worm, yo.
Man, I'm totally riding the worm.
Rides the worm.
We need to stop taking these drugs.
All right, next, Blu-ray is a film. I watched this movie. I'd heard about it, and I found it online and watched it. It's called Kid Cannabis. It's the amazing true story of an 18-year-old high school dropout from Idaho who traffics high-end marijuana from Canada and turns into a millionaire.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's like, it's really, it's, I would almost call it a kind of Goodfellas with kids, and it's true.
Marijuana!
And this guy, this kid reminds me of like a super, super, super awkward, nerdy version of, the guy in 21 Jump Street.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah. But it's an interesting film. It's not great, but it's one of those movies you watch and go, well, it wasn't so bad.
That is good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next, we have the collector's edition released by Shout Factory of Lake Placid.
Ooh.
Oh, the giant alligator, right?
Yeah, the horror comedy with Bill Pullman and Oliver Platt and Betty White.
Anybody talks like that, get chopped up and fed to the alligators.
I actually really kind of enjoy this movie.
I remember seeing this in the theater. And the sound system being on the fritz or something. It was horrible. And just my whole night ruined.
Wow.
Isn't that a bummer? Terrible.
This has a lossless DTS HD Master Audio 5.1 mix. But also the original 2.0 mix.
And a please tell me Bill Pullman commentary. Come on!
I do not see any information about a commentary, but no! It is... I'm telling you right now, it's a Shout Factory release, so I'm sure there's a very cool commentary track on it.
What?
Cool.
But yeah, I was White, always...
Remember the whole... They advertised the movie as Betty White cussing in the movie?
Yes, yeah.
That's why you went and saw the movie.
Yeah, and then someone got You're a hold of the rights mess. And ended up making a bunch of awful television sequels that were... nothing like the original film, because the original film's very tongue-in-cheek.
It kind of reminded me of, like, how they did a bunch of sequels to, like, Don't Do This, Jason. Don't Do This.
Yes.
Tremors! Yeah, oh, yes. Remember they did a bunch of bad sequels to Tremors starring Michael Gross?
Yes, yep. Michael Gross. Gosh, I loved him.
He's
really too bad that he passed away.
What?
No. Gross.
Kidding.
He's alive, isn't he?
Yeah,
do this, Bill.
I am not. Well, it's just the way I said I loved him. Like, it
this
was
is
like,
gross.
It passed. I don't know.
What the chop?
I'm an asshole. next, we have the Lars von Trier film, Nymphomaniac.
Doesn't that star, wait, who's in that, Bill? It's,
about Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, okay.
How and I liked how the reports after him being an asshole at the, cabaret, now they're saying, they said, oh, he's going to rehab, and now they're saying, no, he's not going to rehab, he's just has someone helping him.
Yeah, it's just like having a headache in your hand, you know?
Baby just brought something very muddy into the house. I don't know what the hell it is, but lock her out, Steven. Jesus.
It's a frog.
No, it's a little piece of plastic.
It's something she buried probably a year ago that she just dug up. Little shithead.
Yeah, I have one of those right here who decided to just go to sleep. He just kind of wanted to voice his pleasure. I'm sorry.
I just
excuse
heard
me?
The cat meow.
Jesus, it's like a freaking Wild Kingdom in here.
Over there.
So yeah, what else you got in there, Bill?
Yeah. I have a giraffe.
And a monkey.
Yeah, monkey. Jesus, these pets won't leave me alone. They're like, what are you doing? It's Saturday. All right, so Nymphomaniac has a bunch of people in it, like Shia LaBeouf, Christian Slater, Udo Kier, Charlotte Gainsborough is the lead, but I don't care. I don't want to, I don't even have any desire to see this film. And I can appreciate Lars von Trier's films, but there's certain topics that I just don't care about. I don't think I would sympathize with any of these people. You have a hard time sympathizing with any characters in any Lars von Trier film.
And he's got the best pies in town!
Yeah, it's just, it's blatantly racist, is what it is.
What?
Yeah.
Hello, no spoilers, please!
Next on Blu ray, we have Lee Marvin's Point Blank.
Lee Marvin's Point Blank. Is this where he plays Parker?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that is sweet. Is it the storyline a lot like
the original? What the hell was that
Mel
one called?
Mel Gibson movie called...
Payback.
Payback. Why is my brain not working?
It's okay.
It's like everything is shut down. It's like... I can't even think of a word for that sentence.
We're almost done.
Shut up!
Hey! Yeah.
Stop. It looks gorgeous. I mean, it looks positively stunning. Just really colorful and,
Oh, that was my brain. I would like to see it, Bill.
Yeah, I really want to pick it up because this is one that I've always loved. I've always loved this film. As I just said.
I don't give a damn about that.
I think my brain is also shutting down. Next, another Twilight Time Screen Archives Entertainment exclusive, Radio Days.
Oh, I remember Radio Days, but I can't enjoy it anymore because Woody Allen's a child rapist.
He is. Really?
Why am I laughing at that? No, but I really liked it. Remember that? No, never mind. Was Seth Green in that when he was a little kid?
Yes, he was. Wallace Shawn, Jeff Daniels, some lady named Mia Farrow.
He sucks.
That's cool, Bill. I mean, did you like this movie?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
What about you, Bill?
I do. I haven't seen it a lot, but when I saw the cover of it, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
For a second, I had to go, is this the Woody Allen film or the one with Brian Benben that George Lucas did?
Oh, that's the Radioland Murders.
Yes, Radioland Murders.
Which I've never seen, by the way.
God, it's terrible. No, it's really not that bad, but it's one of those movies where it's kind of like a Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin kind of vibe to it.
That is good news.
It's very schizophrenic and irritating.
George Lucas likes all those old movies.
Yeah, he loves ripping shit off. Did I just say that? It's an homage. Next, we have The Raid 2 on Blu-ray, but I am going to preface this with, don't buy it.
Why? I thought it had badass action sequences.
Well, it does, but this is the censored R-rated version.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is also the version we saw in the theaters, but for some reason, Sony Pictures decided to release the edited censored version, yet overseas, they get the full uncensored version. So I would say, if you really want to see The Raid 2, if you want to enjoy it for all its 2 hours and 30 minutes of badassery.
Well, let me ask you this. What is the censored part?
It's just the violence is toned down.
What I mean, is it like disturbing shit or what?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, one of the girls, the characters in it is named Hammer Girl. I mean, come on.
So she's got a hammer and she's hammering people?
Yeah, she hammers the shit out of people.
I got boogers in my eyes.
I mean, I have never seen the uncensored version. This is the version that was in the theaters. But I'm not going to buy that when I know that, you know, the UK gets the uncensored version.
I'm so hammered.
So you have to wait until August to get that. I've already pre-ordered it from a sale.
Oh, wow. Well, have you saw the first raid, of course. Did any of that disturb you?
Yeah.
All right, just checking.
But, I mean, I felt exhausted after I watched it. Like I needed to take a nap.
Were you like, that was disturbing and rewarding?
Yes, equally. Like, I felt like I just had the shit kicked out of me watching a movie.
That's disturbing.
Next, we have something that could equally be called disturbing. Shout Factory has decided to release Southern Comfort on Blu-ray.
Oh, very disturbing and southerny.
and slightly comforting.
Yeah, that movie's messed up. I don't know. What the hell.
You got your Keith Carradine, your Powers Booth, or your Booth Powers.
Powers Booth, big time.
Fred Ward.
Which gives ease and comfort.
Yes.
It's a weird movie, isn't it?
It is a weird movie.
It's where the guys are the weekend warriors, the the National Guard. And they're doing exercises down in the South where there's a bunch of Cajun country. And one of the soldiers, as a joke, all they have is blanks. He starts shooting at the good old Cajun boys.
You don't do that shit.
It pisses them off. What do? They go run and get all their guys with their shotguns, and they go and start killing all the weekend warrior guys one at a time. They're hunting them down in the bayou where it's all, like, you can't see shit. It's all marshes and stuff. And oh, man, it is creepy stuff because they start setting traps on them and stuff. It's messed up.
It is messed up, but it's
ludicrous.
It's ludicrous.
Not to be confused with Sugar Crisp.
It's Chris Ludicrous.
Everyone needs to stay cool and calm.
I can't remember the guy's
last name. They should have had Devin there leading them, the National Guard.
My charisma.
They would have pushed him in front of the first shotgun that came out.
You're a miserable bastard.
I would have loved it. And that, kitty, that's DVDs for this week.
Seriously?
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome. I got boogers in my eyes.
Thank you. Good night.
Why does the guy think we want to know that? Do you guys know what this is?
Wow.
Heather asked me that in years. Some Grandmaster Flash. Heather asked me to put it in the intro. So I was like, okay.
That's awesome.
Chena Sara Panga Yenda. Chena Sara Huja Yenda. Chena Miami Sara Kera J. Sara Jeda Lanino Rehalutiana Hinzila J.
Oh my god! It sounds like Daytac is smashing Jack Bauer's fingers in that. Ah. That's pretty messed up, isn't it?
That is good news.
Drowning his child and his wife.
Yeah, what was that? At the end of Defiance, like, he shows up and they're taking a bath and he's all dirty and gross and he gets in there and
he's Shawshanked escaped.
Yeah, and it's one of the worst songs that have been on the show.
What was that?
I don't know. And that's all I could ask. After I watched it, I even messaged you. I was like, wow, they really know how to ruin a scene with a bad song.
My brother asked me, is that a real song? I'm like, yeah, it's a real song.
It's like their thing is to do covers at the end of the show now. And
yeah, they think they're Battlestar Galactica.
So I think it's supposed to represent music of that time. It's all cover music that they're... That's what I want to know. What's funny is I want to know more about Alack's business. Like, are you doing covers or is he unearthing old albums and repressing them and selling
He's
them?
He's doing bootleg pressings.
Yeah, I want to know more about his
Where
side
did he
business.
Get his equipment?
Yeah. Where's his record press,
where
Bill?
Where's this vinyl to press?
Yeah, where is the record press? And where is he getting the silver to make the pressing plates?
Yeah, and also, I mean, he has a radio station going in the arch, but that's not the same as having a record business.
This is becoming extremely convoluted.
I'm so sorry, but we're going to need a spin-off show just based on his business.
I think you're right.
He's going to... I want to show...
WKRP in Defiance?
Think about this.
They're going to do a turkey drop for the holidays?
Think about this storyline. Opening up a chain of record stores across the post-apocalyptic landscape. That's a cool movie idea, isn't it?
That is.
I want to see
this. That's
where
Tom Cruise got his records in Oblivion.
That is good news.
Yeah, he shopped at Alax Records.
Wasteland Records.
I want to see that, man.
What the chop?
All right, guys, that was episode 295 of Entertainment Landfill. Edging so very close to, what episode, Bill?
296.
Yes, exactly. Exactly where I was going. No, episode 300. But 296 will be awesome, too. We're not just going to skip ahead.
Prostitute.
Yeah, that was a pretty good joke, wasn't it? A prostitute who only gets paid in spaghetti is called a prostitute. And
she's also massive.
He's like, maybe he is a stand-up comedian. Yeah. No, did you just hear that joke? He's not a comedian.
That there is funny.
That's like a Jackie the Joke Man joke.
He's like a starving comedian because he's not getting any work.
he's playing the funny bone at 4 a.m. He doesn't know it's closed.
He's wearing...
I bet he knows the joke.
He's wearing a camouflage t-shirt. I think
he stole the joke from that fluffy guy. The hell's his name?
Paid him $50 just to clean it. He knows
it. $50 just to clean it. All right, guys. Episode 2.
He knows the setup.
If you guys enjoyed this show and you have not yet become a patron, please consider that. Go to patreon.com/landfill. And check out how you can become a patron. It'll be pretty awesome. And this is where we name all of our patrons, Bill.
All right.
Which would Adam H., Adam from the Bay Area, right? Also check out Lawrence's Lego Reviews. Brian, Rick L., Marvin, Michael, Hodor is still on there. It's like Hodor. Ken P., John W., Kelly M., Jenny, Tom B, Cerule M, who I talked to this week, and he's really digging the Back to the Future movie mini bill, and he wants us to do part two. So maybe we will in the future. But we're actually planning a movie mini that I think it'd be fun just for you and I to do really soon, and give me something to work on.
One of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, and it's also a movie from the 80s, but also we have Adam S., who may be in the chat room, Adam Sexton.
I haven't looked. I don't have it open.
Carl, Slade B, and Brandon. Yeah, he's still... No, he's not in there.
He went to dinner.
Brandon, Kelly, Ross P, which Ross...
is also from the Bay Area, and...
Didn't he just recently have a new addition to his family?
They announced she's pregnant.
Oh, she's pregnant. Oh,
Ross
gonna have
is
another...
pregnant?
His wife
is pregnant. So congratulations to them. And also we have Bill L.
That guy's an asshole.
He's a really cool guy, and hopefully he'll be visiting Texas soon.
Yay.
We will meet him with open arms like, Bill L., nice of you to be here. It's so good to see
you. I'm here for my $2.
Oh, my God. And smash your fingers. But
ow!
Also,
I need those.
Mike M., Paul W.P., B. Sly. Wait, we have a guy named Slade and a guy named Sly. That's pretty awesome.
Slade Sly.
Nathena, Jason P., Sean U. And also, oh, it's loading more. Rob B, Terry F, Sam A, Michael K, Mark A. We know who Mark A is, right, Bill? You know who that is.
All right.
Andy Sims, Swiley, and Jean-Francois, happy birthday! It's his birthday today, isn't it?
It's his birthday, and also, is it yesterday was the birthday for the new addition to the Chinstroker family?
Yes, congratulations to Hannah and Mike.
Yeah, little Chloe.
That is so
adorable.
Cool. And she said maybe the youngest fan of Entertainment Landfill, possibly?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is for Jean-Francois.
Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday.
I like that end part. Happy birthday.
We are all one big family, honestly.
Yeah, we are. I love looking at this list of patrons. It makes me feel special. And I like that they all like our show. And I love doing it with you, Bill, and you, Steven. I have so much fun, especially on a Saturday when we actually end the show early, you know? And it's still daylight.
Still out?
Yeah. It's a good times.
Very
and
nice.
Come on, guys. Join the family. Become a patron. It'll be awesome. We'll love you forever. And soon we'll be erecting that wall of heroes, Bill.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And, uh-oh. Webster needs to go out, I think.
He wants to be on the wall of heroes.
Webster's like, I want to be a patron.
Oh, I'm a goddamn hero.
I'll pay you in Scooby snacks.
I got bones I can give you.
Now, guys, go to etlandfill.com. There you can find us on Twitter, the Jstrom on Twitter, Mulberry Bill, and PCZ Steven on Twitter. Also, etlandfill on Twitter. But you can find links to our old shows. Just remember, we edited them. But I do want you to go back and listen to episode 3 where Bill inserted that one part. It's funny, Bill, that we were so concerned with continuity or something. I don't know what it is.
Such a loser. I'm not listening to that.
Oh, come on. It's good times.
All right. I'll look at it.
Now, guys, you can also... keep an eye out for the sale of Star Wars Part 2 will hit. All of our patrons have always heard it, and we've gotten rave reviews, Bill.
Always heard it.
We're not self-indulgent at all, Bill.
Yeah, I was worried about that, but it's a fun show.
It's a fun show. I enjoy talking Star Wars with you. It's always fun. It's cool stuff, and I can't wait till the trailer comes out of the Star Wars Episode 7 where we can do a whole show just analyzing every
frame by frame.
Every frame. All right, guys, that's our show, and we'll see you next time. Happy 4th of July. Happy birthday to Jean-Francois. Congratulations to Mike and Hannah and Ross and his family. I'm not going to attempt to say your last name. I'm sorry. All right, guys, see you next time. Later, Bill. Later, Webster.
Later. Bye, Webster.
Later, Stephen. Woo-hee.
End of discussion.
It's not a tumor.
That is good news.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't give a damn about that.
No spoilers, please.
Ha, 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 ha. Quiet.